It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. Coming up, a big show. We haven't had a show in 2 weeks, so there's lots to talk about, including some disappointment from some elation from others. We'll talk about the Surface Go, which one you should pick, and Paul Thurrott has his audiobook picks of the year. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 577, recorded Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. The cat formerly known as Hamilton. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Moogsoft. Reduce IT alerts and tickets by up to 90% guaranteed. Visit Moogsoft.com to learn more and sign up for a demo. And by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/Windows. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at RocketMortgage.com/Windows. What's up, guys? It's time for Windows Weekly. The show where we talk about Windows Weekly. Here we go. Once again, it's go time with Mary Jo Foley, all about Microsoft.com. Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com. Yeah. And don't say anything bad about the Go because I already bought it.
August, I bought one too.
August 2nd. It seems like a perfect computer for you, Mary Jo Foley.
I hope. Well, but there's a 30-day return.
That's
a
loaded statement. What do you mean
for
by that?
For people like Mary Jo. Like
it would be an excellent notepad device. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
So first of all, Paul says it was an open secret.
Yep.
Really?
Well, the thing had been leaking for months. I wrote a...
This is not Andromeda, though. This is not...
No.
No, this is the thing that makes sense, Leo.
the thing with wings.
Yeah.
$400, we should mention, Surface tablet. Mm-hmm. It will be available August 2nd. Pre-order now.
Yep.
It's two flavors, 64 gig and 128 gig.
Mm-hmm. 4 and 8 gigs of RAM.
4 and 8 gigs of RAM. And not, you know, a lot more expensive for the high-end model. I think that's $549. I think that's what Microsoft probably expects to sell a lot of. Right?
Oh,
right.
Then you have to buy a special dinky keyboard.
Yes, you do.
It's a specially sized keyboard because it's a 10-inch display.
Yeah, and it's the first type cover since Surface Pro 3 that isn't compatible with all of the other devices.
Oh, what does it use? It doesn't use the Surface connector?
It does use the Surface connector for power, but the type covers on the Pro devices have, I don't know what they call it, but they use a special magnetic type connection. Mm. And this one, because of its size, they just didn't make it compatible.
And does it use a Type-C charger? Please tell me it does, please.
So, no. Oh, but it does have, it has Type-C. Yep. As a port, it still uses Surface Connect for charging. I actually think we should talk about the Surface Connect bit because that was the first thing I asked. You know, I said, so you're still going with Surface Connect. I'd kind of hoped you'd be moving along to USB Thunderbolt like the rest of the world. But, you know, first of all, it's a low-end device, right? So this is comparable to Surface 3. It's not a lot of people going to be chaining two 4K displays off of this thing.
Yeah.
So Thunderbolt 3, you know, okay, you know, maybe that doesn't make so much sense on this device.
Plus, but there's a different connector. I mean, there's a different power brick for it, isn't there? That's smaller.
Yeah, right. And actually, it looks a lot like the one from Surface 3. It's a really, it's about half the size of the Surface Pro brick, and it has the prongs right in it. It's not a brick in the middle of the cord like we've seen on Surface devices, or like you see on your HP NB-X2. Although HP's has a pop-off, you could, you know, make it like that if you wanted to.
And this is not a Qualcomm. This is not an ARM chip, right?
No. Right. And you know what? we knew it was not going to be. At least I knew. I had it in my original report that it would be Intel, and everyone's like, you're wrong. It's going to be ARM. And I'm like, no, it's not going to be ARM.
I have to say, first of all, I don't know, you know, Pentium. There's going to be some controversy around the chip.
Is it the Pentium Gold chip?
Pentium Gold, right.
Well, that's got to be good.
People are going to say, you know, why didn't you use whatever the Y class M series, whatever it's called now? Why didn't you just go full core, whatever? And why didn't you go Qualcomm, you know? The Qualcomm one, they didn't answer explicitly when I talked to them, although I did ask about it. There's a great video, though, called Introducing Surface Go, where the woman says something along the lines of they chose this chipset specifically for what they called predictable performance, right? Yeah. And I think it's fair to say that this thing would have been sunk if they had gone with Qualcomm in the current generation. Agreed. I just don't think the software's optimized. The chipset's not right yet. They're working on that. There's going to be an 850 and a 1000 series chip later. I'm sure a future derivative of this device will be Qualcomm based.
I would guess that too.
So the biggest thing you'd get with an Intel chip is better performance. But the biggest thing you'd give up is battery life. They're claiming, and a half hours? But do you think that's...
9 hours of... No, it's not. It's probably close to six.
It'll be like four.
For Mary Jo, it will be four. She seems to have battery life issues, but...
Every time, I get like half the battery life they claim on a Surface.
So it's going to be more like a regular laptop.
Yeah.
Like a Surface. Basically.
Yeah.
And a little less than that.
Yeah. Well, no, but it is... It is a Surface. I think that actually is a little more profound than it sounds on the Surface. Because it brings all of the pros and cons of Surface to a lower price point, which I think is important. And if you look at this $400 to $550 price range, there are no devices of this quality, of this build quality. It's got the same hinge like we're seeing now.
I love the Surface Pro. You can go down to 15 degrees or 16 degrees.
Yep, it's got the studio mode, supports Surface Pen.
What's the point of the micro SD card?
Well, memory expansion, right? It's
if you want to keep more things locally.
That's another, you know, it's a PC, right? So this is another advantage you get versus, say, an iPad in particular.
Now, they're showing on this video LTE, but that's not available yet.
Right. This fall is what they've said for LTE.
I can live without that. I'll just use my phone as a LTE. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you've had hands-on with it?
We both got to hold it a little. Yeah. I mean, maybe Paul got more hands-on than I did. I got like about 5 to 10 minutes of hands-on.
Yeah. I had Brad.
And you know what the one thing I'll say is?
What?
It's the most lappable Surface yet.
Is it true? Is that true?
Because two reasons, right? So one is it's small, so it can definitely fit better on your lap, even when you have the hinge set back quite a way. But the other thing they fixed in this is it's weighted correctly. For me, all the other Surfaces are either top heavy, bottom heavy. Right. This, the weight, when you put it in one hand, it's like, it's weighted correctly.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I wonder if that's tied to this Pentium thing, because one of the advantages of not having a fan, aside from the obvious, right, the fan noise, is they've gotten rid of all of the cooling equipment that would normally be in a device like this, and they've gotten rid of all of the ventilation that they had around the exterior of the previous devices. And I wonder if that helps, you know, the weight distribution a little bit.
That could, maybe, yep. But, you know, the other weird configuration thing is the trackpad in this is supposedly bigger than the regular Surface. Is that right?
So, yeah, that's what they said, but I didn't see it there because when they said that, I went over, they had on display the other devices. So I grabbed a type cover from the Surface Pro and I pulled it over and I took photos of it. And to me, they look the same size. Compared to the keyboard, it's bigger proportionally because the keyboard is smaller, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't know if you got this figure from them. I asked, and I think they said, unfortunately, I didn't record anything. We just talked and I walked out and never took any notes like an idiot. But I think they said it was 86%. Full sized.
Oh, I didn't ask that number, but that's
interesting. I took it to be really tiny, and I typed on it. I could type on it. It's one of those things you'd probably kind of get used to, and then you would get carpal tunnel and be forced to retire.
I said that to them when I was doing my interview with them. I'm like, did Paul try typing on this? Because his hands are gigantic. I'm like, for me, it's fine. I can type on it just fine. But
it's a 1 millimeter travel, so it's a very short travel.
It is.
In fact, it looks like the switch looks a lot like Apple's butterfly switch, which gives me
Yeah, it's a scissor switch. It has a good throw to it. There used to be this thing around keyboards where you would say like the ideal keyboard pitch is or key pitch is 1.5 millimeters, right?
Right.
The thing that's happened over the past few years though is that those kind of keys today seem wobbly to me.
Yeah.
And so as we go to shorter key throws, right? I think the Apple has kind of overdone it on the other direction, but I think there is a 1 millimeter area where it starts to feel tighter and I don't know, more natural. I'm not sure what. To me, it feels more comfortable when it's a little less than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is okay. Typeable.
Yeah.
Let me get back to the processor. This the Intel Pentium Gold. Yep. Is that a Core M? What is it?
I believe it's a Kaby Lake Y series.
Okay. Yep.
And I believe that means it's a two core, like a dual core.
It's dual core, four threads. Running at 1.8 gigahertz, I think, is what the...
Yeah. Probably
so
not
they,
in this...
They time. Say they custom designed this with Intel, right? They said they did some adaptation to the chip with them for this device.
I don't recall that.
That's what they said.
Here's the thing that blows me away. You go to the website, it says for business.
Oh, no. Well, there is a Surface Go for business and then a separate...
Yep. Oh, they're two different devices?
No, they're the same device, but they're priced slightly differently because the consumer version... comes with Windows 10 Home in S mode.
Oh.
And the business version comes with Windows 10 Pro.
I remember what I bought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Also, I guess we should backtrack a little. So they're positioning this device as being for consumers, businesses, and education. They're just saying it's for everybody, right?
Right.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, because this doesn't look like a business person in her pink jacket. No,
I know.
By the way, so Mary Jo sent me to a really good link, and maybe it would be worth Google searching this. One of the markets that they market this toward is called First Line Workers, right?
Right.
So if you look up First Line Workers and see if you can find the Microsoft webpage, because they show what they mean by that. And so there are pictures of people using tablet-like devices, like Surface devices. So doctors, a guy on a factory floor, like a telephone repairman out on a pole, you know, a retail worker. Yeah, here we go. Flight attendant or an airline employee.
All of them, by the way, are holding it as a tablet, not typing on it.
Yep, but this is a tablet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the keyboard is secondary. Now, it also has a pen, and keyboard, pen, and mouse are additional costs.
Right. Right.
I bought all three just to see. This new flat mouse looks kind of cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't buy the pen. I never use it, so I didn't buy it.
I never use it either, but... does it have a magnet on the side like the other?
It will test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a magnet. So I'm curious, Mary Jo, when you get yours, how this will compare to that HP, right?
I know,
because
me
these
too.
Are both fairly low end processors from a performance perspective.
It's a lot
the battery life
than
is
going to
be night and day, right. Although right. you've had bad luck with the HP on that note.
No, the HP battery life, I got better over time as the more I used it. So
you notice too that I'm sorry.
It's an Intel 4415Y, but that's a unique to Microsoft part number, right?
I'm not sure, but I didn't get that. But I thought there were some benchmarks out in the world where people had kind of looked at this and saw that it was being. I don't know if it's available in other devices. I'm not really sure.
Right.
I think there are variants of the Pentium Gold chip that are out for different devices, but I don't know if this one. Yeah, like I see 4415. Like I see different numbers, you know.
Yeah. Also, there were rumors ahead of time. In fact, I think maybe just a week ago, there was a big report on these devices, and supposedly the low-end version was going to use a Pentium Silver chip of some kind. And I had never heard anything like that, and that obviously hasn't happened. But I'm glad they didn't go with two different processors. It's confusing enough as it is.
Yeah, I mean, I like the premise of it. I like the idea that here's something you can stuff in your purse or just take along really easily and use it as a true computing device. Like, I like all that. That's what I liked about the idea of the Envy X2 also. Mm-hmm. But let's see how it really works.
Right.
It's a small... Remember, Surface 3 had a 10.8-inch screen. This is only a 10-inch screen. Smaller device. The form factor is only slightly smaller. It does have Windows Hello in the camera. the display resolution seems to be significantly lower than was the resolution of Surface 3. But actually, when you look at the PPI, the dots per inch, the new one is actually a little bit higher. I think it's like 217 mm-hmm. versus 214, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. And so they're retaining the 3x2 form factor on the display, which I love, especially in a tablet. And I wish there was a way to get the keyboard a little bigger. Somebody pointed, maybe it was in the comments to an article, but somebody pointed out to me that this screen size is potentially on purpose because it lets them get in under the Office 365, how many things you can use on devices rule for Office.
Is it true?
I
asked Microsoft, I just asked them today. I'm like, so your rule is 10.1 inches or less, Office should be free.
Interesting.
So I sent them a question. I said, is this true for the Surface Go? And they said, we're going to look into it and get back to you.
We're going to look into
it. I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, so I thought the dividing line, though, was Surface Mobile or Office Mobile, right? You don't get like full Office 2016 for free in any situation.
No.
You know, I thought it was if you had an Office 365 subscription, so you're paying for it, right?
Yeah.
You could basically use Office Mobile apps on an unlimited number of devices.
It doesn't
with
count
10
against your total of five.
Yeah, the five. Mm-hmm. Usually get a five. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would be nice for me because I'm maxed out at the five.
And, you know, honestly, for a big segment of the audience that would be using this device, the Office Mobile apps are probably fine.
Yeah.
And for me, it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll work better on these systems, which have constrained, you know, RAM and storage and so and processing power.
Yep.
And that's all you need, right?
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's when I'm looking at when they said this. 2015, when they came out with Office for the iPad, they said any screen size 10.1 inches or less, you'll get the Office Mobile versions for free. So this should be the same, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And those are touch first also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's another reason you might want this on this device.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously at this point, you kind of have to have that comparison with the iPad, right? Office Mobile runs on the iPad. It runs on Android tablets. Not that we have too many good examples of those, although I suppose you could throw Chromebook into that. And this is the big debate now. You know, and it's funny to watch these things unfold on partisan lines, but my theory on this is that Microsoft is looking at this as it's a Surface. And Surface has many roles and many goals, you know, and among them are inspiring the PC maker partners to make better devices too. And I think they looked at this crucial part of the market, especially the education part, and saw that what it was served by was a bunch of plastic, low-cost crap. But now we're starting to see decent Chromebooks in particular, especially in the mid-hundreds range. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe a way to inspire them to do a little bit better. So people are like, you know, it's an iPad killer. It's not an iPad killer. You know, I don't think it was positioned to compete directly with the iPad, even though some people may compare them and choose one over the other. This particular device is more productivity focused, I would say, than consumption focused, especially when you consider that we lack a high quality Kindle reader app on Windows. And I think the iPad, even the iPad Pro really is really more focused on consumption than it is on productivity, even though on both devices you could do either.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you raise a good point in that, because that was one of my questions for Microsoft when I met with them. I said, okay, so in every other case when you've done a Surface, it feels like you are trying to carve out a niche. Like you have some idea, like we want to create this niche. So what is it with this device? And the answer I got back was interesting. They said, well, we're just trying to grow the market for Surface. And I was like, oh.
You might remember this better than I do, but there was a leak some months ago about the strategy for Windows 10 and for PC makers. Actually, I think Brad had gotten this. And we, in this, it was where we had found out about Windows 10 Home and S Mode and Windows 10 Home Advanced and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of their goals, and this, you know, probably dates back 6 or even 9 months, I don't remember exactly, was to do for the mid-range and the low end of Windows PCs what they had done for premium PCs. Meaning that if you look at the PC market, which is shrinking, there are these little growth markets inside of it, premium PCs in general, gaming PCs in particular. You know, what can Microsoft do to make these things, you know, I don't know if they're really going to reverse it, but kind of stem the tide a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this seems to me like a hardware approach to that same issue. You know, bring the premium quality of a Surface device down to a price point where people can afford it, and it will make the audience or service bigger for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, they were very explicit. They said, you know what? There are some people out there who really have wanted a Surface and they've just never been able to afford it. And even though this, you know, when you add up all the parts to this, it's still not cheap, right? Like if you get the pen and the keyboard and everything and the mouse,
say the same thing for an iPad.
True.
That's right. That's right.
True. But I think it opens up a new like price point that they didn't have before.
No, it's smart. Right? It's smart. It's aspirational. Yeah. There are going to be people who go to the store, look at this thing, flip it over their hands, kind of think about it. And then someone will point out, hey, by the way, you know, for $200 more, you can get an actual Surface Pro. You know, think about it. And they might upsell some people that way.
Yeah, sure.
I spent, you know, this was 2 weeks ago when we first saw this thing. And I've spent a lot of the time since then thinking about this very issue. You know, Microsoft back in 2016 when they launched Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book, remember that kind of thunderstruck thing they had going with the music pumping and everything? They went down a really high-end kind of premium PC thing, and it was like, these guys are going after Apple, clearly.
Yeah.
And then they've spent the subsequent year and a half just doing that. They haven't really had, you know, a low-end device. And so here they are, they have a low-end device. So how do you, you know, did the strategy change? Did, you know, what's going on? And the more I think about it, I don't think the strategy changed because this is a premium device for this segment of the market, like you guys were just saying, you know. A lot of people might go to the Microsoft store to see this device, and some of them, like I said, might go to Surface Pro. Some of them might move over to a Dell or an HP or something else because they can get more value maybe out of that device. And, you know, maybe it's not the same premium build quality or whatever. But maybe the specs are a little bit better, and that's what's important to them. At least they'll come into the store for this reason.
Yeah. I do think, though, that there is some iPad component to this because there are cheaper lower end iPads now, right? There's the smaller 10 inch iPad, right? Isn't there an iPad that's like $329 or something? Like
the base iPad is $329 to consumers. It's actually only $299 to schools. They sell an Apple Pencil for $99. The thing that's missing on that is an Apple keyboard. So they sell third party keyboards. I think Logitech is the big partner. But when you look at the cost of getting all that stuff, if for some reason you wanted to put a keyboard in an iPad and use the pencil, you're looking at $100 to $200 less than this computer you could get from Microsoft. And it doesn't have a mouse, you know, for one thing. I mean, it can't run those full-featured Windows desktop applications, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this with regards to Windows 10 on ARM. You know, the experience may be lousy in some cases, but the ability just to occasionally run that thing you do need to run is a huge advantage.
Right.
Even if it's a little slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we should say too, you know, I asked about volume discounts on both of these, like for first line workers, like say you're a company and you're buying like 1,000 of these or a school and you're buying like 10,000 of these, there's going to be pretty substantial volume discounts, right? I mean, so you're not going to pay that $399 or $449. You're not going to pay that per device. I don't know exactly what you will pay, but it'll be something quite a bit less.
Yeah. You'd almost have to go market by market and kind of say, you know, how do these things line up? But I agree that iPad is obviously in the mix. It's always in the mix. You know, one of the things they talked about was this notion of there are these people who are professionals and they have Windows laptops at work that their job has given them and they don't want to put their stuff on there. They want that separation. Mm-hmm. And this is a way for them to kind of get a lower cost device, still high quality, they can use around the house. Those people, I don't think, will be impacted too much by the battery life stuff because you're always near a wall, a socket at some, you know, in your house. But, you know, that's a good market for iPad people too. I mean, or for iPad. I don't know. I mean, everyone's a little different, but, you know, you're sitting there in front of the TV and you're watching some binge thing with your wife, in my case, with my wife, and you have a question about something, and usually, you know, some people bring out a phone, some people bring out a tablet, some people have a laptop sitting there. I think any of these things can fulfill those around the home needs. It just depends on what the bent is here. Is it consumption? Is it productivity? You know, there's something there for everybody.
This has Windows Hello, which is nice. It comes with 10s, but that doesn't mean anything anymore, right?
It doesn't. You can move to the full version of Home or Pro for free.
And will you do that right away?
Me?
Well,
no.
You should.
No. I will not. You will not. I'm going to try to run S again and like an idiot.
I'll probably
try
do
it
the
again.
Same thing. So, I like Edge more and more. You know, I'm actually using it on my Pixel 2.
And you know what? I had a lot of problems with Edge on ARM, but I didn't have a lot of problems with Edge on Intel.
Yeah.
So. You guys, you're out of your minds.
Come on. Like, we're trying to be
I have been walking on
person.
Needles, and I'm starting not to notice it. It's not that bad.
That's exactly right.
You know, I keep sticking a needle into my arm, and it's okay now.
The bleeding warms me. I'm kidding. Actually, Edge is getting a lot better. But I think the notable thing about the S mode thing that's happening here is that it's Windows 10 Home in S mode. I believe this is the first time there's ever been a PC with that shipping out of the box.
So if you upgrade, you'll upgrade to Home, not Pro.
Yeah, if you bought it, you know, from the consumer site or at retail. Yeah.
Well, I just bought it on the store site. Does that means I got the Home? Let me check.
How much did you pay? I mean, what was
the
cost?
Too much. No, I paid $549.
You got Windows 10 Home.
So the business one is more expensive.
Scroll back up, Roko, if you don't mind. I find it a little odd that they say Windows 10 in S mode, since there is no such thing.
Right.
The software is Windows 10 Home.
Yeah.
Well,
they can't agree on their terminology around S mode.
But it's also it doesn't tell me what I got.
Right. It doesn't tell you which OS you got. Right.
If you paid $550, it's Home.
Well, how much more is it for the business version?
I believe it's $50 more.
Yeah, because you're getting a license for Pro.
You could always put $50 towards the upgrade, right? I mean,
you could.
How much is the upgrade, the software?
Very few people who buy this device are going to need Pro.
Right.
I know.
Right.
Very few.
Yeah.
I just want to be a Pro, Paul. I don't want to be a Home.
I'm pretty sure they chose that name for a reason, Leo. You know. What does it have? I don't care. It's
I am a first line worker. I'm a physician. I'm not an attorney, but I play one on the radio.
The doctor is in.
I actually thought this looks really good. The only sacrifice is battery life. The Envy I don't use that much because it really is kind of sluggish feeling.
I wonder. You know.
I might say this is too small when I get it. I mean, that's the problem.
That's
I don't,
my thing.
Yeah.
It's small.
HP sells an Intel version, of their NVX2. I'm curious how those compare. And I believe that's an M3 something like that kind of processor.
Right.
You guys will see. I'll see too. I mean, how this thing compares to the Qualcomm device is going to be very interesting from a performance perspective.
Yep.
Very interested in the whole thing. And do you think Debian will run on it?
Oh, boy.
Can you run WSL on Windows 10?
You can't run WSL on S.
No,
right?
You can't run it at home.
You can't, right?
Oh, I was going to just wipe Windows off and run Debian on it. How about that? No, I'm just kidding.
How about if I just give you a Pro key and we call it a day?
So here's the question it's funny. We were talking about this in MacBreak Weekly because, of course, you know, it seems to be targeted against the iPad. How are OEMs going to react? All this time, Microsoft's been saying, don't worry, we're making premium products. It leaves you plenty of room. But this is the price is directly competing with its OEMs, isn't it?
It is.
But at this price point, you don't get this kind of build quality, right? The two things you typically see, aside from, you know, all the low-end processors and actual hard drives in many cases, right, are plastic bodies and big screens. You know, I don't understand quite what the economics of this are, but at this price point, you see a lot of 15-inch plastic laptops for some reason. You know, the sweet spot for a decent laptop is pretty close to $1,000 these days. And this thing maxes out at something like, what is it, $650?
Yeah.
I really think this is something that Microsoft would have left to its PC maker partners if they had just shown up and done something decent in this category.
And maybe the OEMs are just used to it now and they're not going to be so.
Or maybe Microsoft will work with them and they'll make devices just like this, like they did with Surface.
Right.
Yeah, and I have to think this was a goal. Like, look, you've made your NVX2. Now make a smaller NVX2 and charge $650 for it.
Right.
NVX1.
The X1.5.
There's room at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's always
the you know what my biggest surprise was about the Go? Going into this, I thought this was going to be a Microsoft 365 only device. Like, that was my guess. I was like, you know what? They keep talking about Microsoft 365, which is that bundle of Windows 10 and Office and Intune. I bet they're going to say, here's our showcase Microsoft 365 device. But nope, that's not what they did. You can put Microsoft 365 on it if you want, but it's not a requirement. And maybe that's because of cost. Maybe that's why they didn't do that.
It might be because a big chunk of the audience is going to be at what I would call ad hoc education, right?
Right.
Not a
right.
school buying it for the students, but parents buying it for the kids. And, you know, like I said, you know, literally 2 weeks in my head, I'm running around. Why does this make sense? How does this make sense? Does this make sense? You know, and one of my initial kind of knee-jerk reactions to this is I would never give this to a kid heading off to college for 4 years of school, you know. Mm-hmm. But that may be an outdated kind of viewpoint, you know. The reality of today is that even students probably spend a lot less time typing on keyboards than I might have X number of years ago or whatever. And that I do today because I happen to be a writer. Like, we're writers. We, you know, we keyboards are important to us. I think for the wider world, that is less and less of a thing. And one of the reasons that Chromebooks are so popular, aside from price, obviously, but they have to meet some kind of minimum standard of functionality to work, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons they're popular is that there is a market for a device you only need occasionally. You know, I need to actually write something. Well, here's the key thing with the keyboard. I need to print, you know, I need whatever it is. And I think many people are very comfortable doing most of what they do on a phone these days. And maybe this satisfies that need.
Yeah. The other thing is in the education space, when I said, what part of education are you guys really targeting? Like, not college, right? Because that's what you said the Surface laptop was for. And they said, our sweet spot is third through sixth grade.
Oh, yikes. That's really young.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this came out. I was talking to Brad about this 1 year ago in May. We all went out to, well, you were there already, but we went to New York to go to the education event. Mm-hmm. And it's education, education, education. And then at the last thing they did was Terry Myerson pulled out that Surface laptop, this $1,000 plus, really $1,300 for a good configuration premium laptop, you know. Mm-hmm. What doesn't make sense in this picture? The other half of the equation, too, by the way, is remember they had those $199, $299 hunk of junk plastic education computers, those poor kids that get that stuff. How much more sense would this device have made at that event? Look, for two or $300 bucks, you can get these things. For $400, you can get this thing. You know, there's your upgrade path. You know, there's the normal part and then the premium part of this market. This thing makes way more sense in that context than Surface laptop ever did.
True. Yep. I don't know. I'm intrigued by it. I'm not sure it's going to be the right device for me just because of battery more than anything.
Yeah, and you think
that's my biggest worry. The size is okay for me because, you know, the way I usually use a computer if I'm like just rushing around and doing something is I have notepad up. I take notes. Mm-hmm. I, you know, switch to email, do a little quick email, a little browsing, and that's it. So for that, I think it's okay, you know.
Mm. You know, the one thing they didn't tell me when I talked to them and I found out about in that Inside Surface Go video is it supports a form of quick charging. They call it intelligent charging, but supposedly you can get this thing up to 100% in 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's incredible on one note. I guess given the capacity of the battery, it's not all that incredible, but I guess, you know, whatever. You go from zero to 9 hours of battery life in 2 hours. That's good. I don't know. I need to really use this thing. There's so many questions. And it's just like the arm thing. It's easy to get excited about it. It's a nice looking device for all the same reasons that Surface devices are already always really nice looking devices. Performance and battery life, you know, are the questions.
Yep.
Well, we'll find out August 2nd.
Yes, we will.
I probably can't ask you, Paul, if you've got one already for review.
No, you can ask.
Do you have one for review already?
I can't tell you that, Leo. No, I think it's okay to talk about that. They plan to give us devices to review before August 2nd. The problem for me from a scheduling perspective, is that on July 20th, I'm leaving for my home swap, and I get home on August, 7th or 8th or whatever it is. So it's possible that I'm going to miss this window, and I don't know what to, we'll see.
Should have them send it to me, because I don't think I'm going to get a review unit.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Brad will have his. I assume he's getting one.
All right. So that.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't unhappy with August 2nd. That's only 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's not that far away.
That's not.
It really isn't that far away. Yeah. The problem is I don't get home until after August 2nd. Right. So for me, that kind of stinks. I would like to at least be around for that. But
I'm sure we could think of somebody who might help Paul and ship it to Belgium. Where are you going?
Ship it to me.
Sweden. You're going to Sweden? You know they lost in the World Cup, right?
I don't care about that.
You can only go to a World Cup winning country.
The World Cup's already over because the French are going to be in the final game and they surrender at everything. So,
oh. The only question is to
those
whom
are
they surrendering? Surrendering.
England's up 1-0 right now.
People may not be watching live. They may be taping.
Yeah.
Although I thought I heard lots of shouts from the English bar 40 miles south of us.
I bet you did.
God. Oh, England! Somebody in the chat room is asking a good question. If you get the the lower end model, the 64 gigs is eMMC storage hard drive. If you get the 128 model, it's an SSD.
It's not just an SSD, it's an NVMe based SSD.
So that is a significantly faster
choice.
Yeah, I'm sure Microsoft expects everybody to pony up the extra 150 and just get the 8 gig.
I got to tell you, the feedback I've gotten, we've been joking recently about chatter, right? And so I kind of hear from people on Twitter, email, comments, whatever. I basically get two forms of feedback on this device. One is from the people who say, I can't use this. This is terrible. Why do they do this? Why can't they just do Andromeda? And then I think there's some crying emoji after that. But the other one is people who say, this is exactly what I've always wanted. And it's astonishing how many of those people have said, I'm going to be fine. I don't know what you keep complaining about with the low-end one. I can get, it's fine. That's exactly what I need. Mm. And I know. I think it's slightly delusional. If they had, in this day and age, I mean, I can't, in my book, I strongly recommend anyone using Windows 10 to get a PC with at least 8 gigabytes of RAM for starters. Mm. I strongly recommend against using eMMC in any device that you use.
Yeah.
In any PC that you use.
That's how your SD card, if you had a micro SD card, will be, right? That's eMMC. Yeah.
Yeah, but if the deal is...
That's the data card. That's the data
card. Yeah, I want to bring movies for a trip or whatever. Right. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I ordered a 256 gig Samsung Evo. That's actually going to be plenty of storage.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I would like something really light. This is 1 pound. Really lightweight.
Yeah, without the cover.
One really lightweight to take with me on my next vacation. Instead of a bigger computer.
I'd love to have this on the plane going to Europe.
Yeah. Mm.
That way, like halfway over the Atlantic, the battery could die.
That'd be so exciting. Yeah.
no, I'm sure it's fine. You can also, you can, of course, charge over USB-C as well. So not that you need an extra thing to carry around with you, but if you had to, you could get one of those Anker chargers or whatever and you could keep it charged.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Explain that to me. Wait a minute.
Okay.
You can charge it through the USB-C port?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the USB-C does display, power, and data.
Oh. So, but not charging. Mm-hmm. Oh, power. Yeah.
No, but yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you have a USB-C charger, obviously a smaller wattage power supply will.
I thought it couldn't charge over USB-C. I thought I had to use the Surface Connect.
No, no, it comes with Surface Connect.
Oh, well, I got plenty of. Oh, that's fantastic news.
Yeah.
Oh, I misunderstood you. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. That solves.
But is it slower to do that?
No, you can get high-powered USB-C chargers. I have an 80-watt one for my Pixel. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Depends on the wattage. So I know what is the watt? Do we know what the wattage is of the bundled charger? I bet it's pretty small. But it's like 45 or some small.
Might be in the spec sheet. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's here. Let me go look. Yeah. If it's smaller, that's why, right?
Yeah.
Right. Also, we haven't mentioned the 256 gig storage model that was mentioned in the Microsoft video about this, but is not listed on the website.
So did they actually mention it as a model? Because my guess was that they're going to add it as a configurable buy time option. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Huh. Well, I base that on nothing, but I would be surprised if there was a third, because they're going to already have an LTE model.
Right.
I suppose it's possible the LTE model could be the one with 256. Right. Maybe that's the only way to get it. Because it is notable.
Right.
There's no configuration on these things. You just choose the two.
I know. That's true.
You know, models. And that's it. There's no, you know, on Surface Laptop, Surface Pro, you get all these choices depending on which processor you choose and so forth. So it's interesting. It's a little more device-like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it that it has a Hello camera on it. That makes me happy. Because usually on a cheaper device like that, you don't expect that kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think that's the point, you know, and that's why I mentioned that Windows 10 planning document. One of the deals was, you know, in new versions of Windows, they always have these features and they kind of show them to OEMs. They're like, you know, could you put this stuff in your devices, far-field microphones for Cortana or the cameras up front for Windows Hello? And they want to bring that stuff downstream, right? Because today that stuff's available in all the premium devices, and some of them are available in some of the mid-market devices. But you don't really see that stuff in the entry-level devices.
Yeah.
You know what this is? This is like I compared Surface 3 one time to a Cadillac Cimarron. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
It was just a Chevy Chevette or whatever that car was. And it just had Cadillac badges and crap. It was a terrible car.
It was a Capri with the... Cadillac badges or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. So this thing is not really like that. This is what I think of this is the upper trim level on like a Toyota Corolla. So it's still a Toyota Corolla, but maybe you get leather seats, you get, you know, like a heated steering wheel. Yeah. Like you can afford this computer, but you could spend $20 extra or I guess $30 extra and get the nicer keyboard cover.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's not like you put a leopard skin cover on your seat. It's actually nice. It's a nice seat.
I heard that.
You know,
he's awake.
I heard a little sriracha in the background.
I know. I got the Alcantara cover just because I've said how much I hate it, and so I'm like, hey, let me try that too. Since I'm trying things
I
hate.
Is there a choice? Don't they all have Alcantara?
No, you can get a black plastic cover.
Oh, I don't want that. I got the burgundy. All burgundy all the time.
Yeah, we need to know, Mary Jo, what color did you get?
Blue. Cobalt blue.
Blue.
Yep.
I guess I got the girl
color. Because, again, she's a writer. Word is blue because of suicidal writers.
The blue.
Is that what?
It's Facebook blue, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the burgundy. I got a burgundy Surface Book. Not Surface Book. Surface. What is the laptop?
I like the Platinum one, actually.
The Platinum one's nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have the Platinum. Is it Platinum?
It's like a gold, silverish, goldish.
Yeah,
kind of.
I like it. It's nice. It looks nice.
It's very nice. Yep.
I think by the way, that's another thing that's kind of a Surface deal. You know, the Surface Connect is one, and the colors are one. And I think that kind of personalization capability is nice. You know, people who buy iPads can get different kinds of covers, and they come in different materials, even in colors. You can get like a leather version or a bright green thing if you're into that kind of thing. It's just, I think that stuff matters to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I have color regret. Thanks.
No.
Thanks a lot.
They're not going to charge you till they ship, so you can go in and change your
order.
Yeah, but if you change it now, you're not going to get it till September.
Yeah, probably.
No, you chose the right one. I think the
burgundy's pretty.
The burgundy color's nice, yeah.
Why do they only show burgundy and platinum unless you press...
Yeah, but that's been an interesting complaint a lot of people have raised. I don't know. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's available black plus platinum, burgundy, and cobalt blue in Alcantara. So the black
is
and
the black mice, one is the normal.
The mice, too, are in those colors.
Let's talk about those mice. I got it all color coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me show you something real quick. This is... I believe this is called... I'm not sure what this is called. This is a Surface... mouse, right? Surface branded, whatever. This is almost exactly what that new mouse is. The difference is the design on the bottom is a little more squared off, and that the new mouse for the Surface Go comes in different colors, including those same colors, right? Burgundy and cobalt, and I think this color, whatever this is, magnesium. So it's Bluetooth. It does that quick connect thing that's supported in Windows now.
I like that a lot.
I believe you can... no, this one doesn't do it. There's a bigger, more professional mouse that supports up to three device connections. So this one's probably just one device.
It's my new
Go Anywhere
mouse.
Yeah.
It's nice. Really small. It's nice. It's
flat. They have this video.
Flat.
Oh, there's the mouse.
Yep.
They have this long video, but they only show the mouse briefly. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's the size of it. It's kind of, it's kind of cute.
It is. Yeah.
They don't mention that the model is 4'2".
Yep. They also don't mention that they don't sell those headphones.
Yeah, well, you have to. But it has a headphone jack, which I like.
The price is good, too, right? Like $35. It's
for
not
crazy. Oh, yeah, $35 for the mouse. Wow, yeah. That's like old school mouse prices. It's like a little comfy pillow.
It is.
To go with your mouse.
Yeah.
Paul has, by the way, frozen in the most peculiar way. I don't know.
He's looking pensive.
Yeah. Maybe he's... Tell you what.
He's mesmerized by the mouse.
We'll take a break. We got... Maybe he's watching the soccer match. I don't know. We'll take no more spoilers. I promise.
No, sorry.
No. It's understandable. You can't be blamed for that. You were excited.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
I think Lower Macungie Valley has had an outage.
Me too.
Yeah, this could be bad. We'll stay in touch and we'll figure out what's going on. Meanwhile, a word from our sponsor, Moog Soft. If you're an IT professional, do not be threatened by the Moo. The Moo is here to help you. What is the worst? Well, there are many probably things about your job that you would change, but one of the worst things in terms of execution and performance is the annoying fact, every IT professional knows, one thing breaks. Let's say it's a little thing. Let's say the time is wrong on your server. And you get 1,000 messages saying the certificates are, and the problem is you have to dig through all of this to figure out what's the thing to fix. It's that Christmas tree of alerts and tickets that are lighting up your phone and your monitor, and it's like it makes you less productive. It doesn't make you more productive. Now you got to have the alerts. You got to know. This is where Moogsoft's AI Ops is so great. It's artificial intelligence for IT. It does not require you to set up anything. You don't have to set up filters. I mean, you could do this, right? You set up rules and filters and models and blah, blah, blah. No, because what happens is the AI does it. The machine learning does it. It looks at what's happening, and based on the rules it already knows and the ones it learns as you do your work, it gets better and better. Eventually, actually right out of the box probably, reducing your IT and alerts and tickets by up to 90% guaranteed. It's not an empty promise, guaranteed. What happens is you still get the information. What you get is an actionable work item or two. They call them situations. They cluster all of the related events into one situation. You never have to look at another alert or ticket or anything. You look at the situation. You go, let's fix this. Let's whatever. Set the time. And all the stuff, you know, the certificates out of date stuff goes away. It's developed for enterprise. It's developed to make you better at your job. Not to replace you, but to make you a hero. Wow, they fixed that fast. Don't you love that? Hey, we really want to thank Joan down in IT because, we thought the server was down. She fixed it in seconds. That's what you want. Moogsoft AI Ops will lower the frequency and duration of repeat incidents so you can get back to what you're doing, you do best. It learns. That's the key. It learns. And there, if you go to moogsoft.com, you can get a demo. You could see lots of case studies and references. A good one from HCL Technologies. We mentioned a lot there because they're very well known as a global IT managed service provider. You know, that means they have lots and lots of clients, lots and lots of tickets. They also have an award-winning dry ice platform to manage all this. And it uses Moogsoft AI Ops as the event management layer. That means their clients can streamline their operational workflows. They can reduce the time and the detect to correct life cycle of incident tickets. They have experienced, HCL has experienced a 33% reduction in mean time to restore. That means they can support more clients with service quality while keeping operational costs low and efficiency high, and you can do the same thing. Moogsoft AI Ops. Reduce your IT alerts and tickets by up to 90%. Guaranteed. Moogsoft, MOOGSOFT.com. Get a demo. I think you'll be very impressed. It's really a clever idea. Moogsoft.com. Buy IT pros for IT pros. All right. Paul has recovered.
Sorry about that. my computer blue screened.
Oh, wow.
That never happens.
It hasn't happened in the middle of a podcast in quite a while.
Yeah. So it hasn't. But you're running Insider,
No, not in this computer.
Oh.
So I don't know. And of course, you know, blue screens, then it has to send a report to Microsoft. So that takes,
yeah,
you know, 10 minutes or whatever.
You can turn that off, can't you?
You like
to help. Sure. I'm helping.
I just sit there and take it, Leo. I'm a Windows user.
I'm helping. I think we can move on to the next item. What do you say?
Sure.
Andromeda. Yep. Oh, yep. We hardly knew ye. It's gone the way of the courier.
I don't know if you caught this last week when Mary Jo dashed everyone's dreams. But please tell us your story.
I wasn't here last week. We missed you.
Neither were we.
By the way, we should say... This was a story that we would have been reporting on the 4th of July, but we were too busy eating red, white, and blue cake. And
Mary Jo is too busy disappointing everybody.
Did you go to Rattle and Hum on the 4th, or what'd you do?
No. What did I do on the 4th? I went down and watched the fireworks.
Yeah, they have excellent fireworks.
They do. New York fireworks are amazing. Yeah. It's like crazy.
Pretty good for a small town, I got to say.
Pretty good, yeah.
They put some money into that thing. And it's nice because they have that, what is that, statue with the torch? They have that thing.
Yeah. Where some lady was like lounging around on it, so they had to evacuate it.
Yeah. Was that on
the
floor?
What's she supposed to be doing? Is she like dusting a high shelf or something?
Yeah, that's it. It's either a torch or a Swiffer, but she's holding it up. And then what's cool is the fireworks come right over that.
They do. Pretty cool.
Nice. Where'd you go down to see that? That's the Hudson, right? That they do that.
No, they're doing that's it on the East River. East River now. Okay. I was at 14th Street, which had pretty good views.
Nice. And then did you take the High Line home?
No, other side. High Line's on the west side.
Oh, you're on the east side.
Yeah.
She's in the Ritzy side of town. So the other thing you did last week is dash our dreams, Mary Jo.
Okay, I'm going to give you the backstory on this, right? This is about Andromeda. So you know how everybody started reporting, some claiming exclusives, some not, that there was this memo going out to people saying, hey, Andromeda is going to be this pocketable device and it's coming this fall. So I was curious when I saw that. I'm like, you know, I wonder when that memo was put out. Hmm. It's old. It's several months old. And if you guys remember, what happened this spring? The entire Windows team was upended, basically. And Terry Myerson's out. Major reorg. Hmm. You can kind of assume things have changed since that memo was written. So I started poking around, as I do, with sources like, hey, what's going on with Andromeda? And it turns out it's at least on hold. I won't say it's canceled, but it's at least on hold. And if it does materialize at some point, it probably will not look like the renders you've seen in various stories. Why is this happening? Okay, think about this. If Andromeda was going to happen, some big changes would have had to have happened to Windows Redstone 5. Like they would have had to add some things that aren't in there right now, like the Windows Core operating system layer, probably. And then the Andromeda, full Andromeda shell should be there by now, or at least in good part. So all we've seen really, though, are some mentions of Andromeda APIs, some things in the SDK saying Andromeda. So I was thinking, you know what? If it's going to be in Redstone 5, more of it should be there by now, right? So I asked some more people, like, is it in Redstone 5 or is it not in Redstone 5? Like, are the under the cover components needed for Andromeda in the OS? And the answer is no. So at this point in the development cycle of Redstone 5, if it's not in there yet, it's probably not going to make it into Redstone 5. Probably not. And a couple people I talked to said, you know, because the management has changed, because we have new priorities, there's somebody new heading up Windows, they're looking at everything that was on the old schedule, and they're saying, does this make sense? So the new Windows management said, let's take this down for a minute and like think about this. Who is this device for? What does it do that no other Windows devices can do? Is there anything it would do? And, you know, the people who really wanted it are like, yeah, it's going to be Surface Phone. But that's never what it was going to be. It was going to be a dual screen tablet that had some telephony capability, or maybe just LTE. We didn't even know what telephony capabilities meant at that point. So if you have this thing, looks like a phone, but it's actually a dual screen device that probably would be pretty expensive to make, comes with a pen, runs Windows 10. Who is this for? Like, right. What audience is this for?
So was this a Terry Myerson thing? And once he's gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Terry Myerson thing. I'm sure Panos also was and is in favor of it because, yeah, you know, devices. He would be in charge of making it.
Yeah, and right? He likes that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. Like, everybody's like, you hate Andromeda. No, guys, I thought it looked really cool, too. But
that's where I have to say, that's where the grown-ups come in.
Right.
Because every geek wants, because it's cool, wants to make it. Then somebody has to come in and say, yeah, but who's this? Right. Who's the market? Where does this? And I liked what you said, exactly what you said. Where does this fit into what we do?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, in theory, you could say, you know what it would be really awesome for? Taking notes, right? Like, this would be the ultimate note-taking device, wouldn't it?
Nope. The Surface Go.
Right. So
So
that brings a whole new wrinkle into this, right? Because a lot of the things they're talking about with Surface Go are things people talked about doing on Andromeda.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of the things they talked about doing on Surface Mini. And I've sort of made the comparison that In many ways, by making this device smaller, this is essentially Surface Mini. It's not the same. We don't really have 8-inch tablets per se in the Windows market anymore. Yeah. But this solves the same problem. If you really are looking for something that's a small tablet that you can handwrite on, well, they have that now.
And it suffered the same fate as the Surface Mini.
Yeah.
Well, so a lot of people who've paraphrased what I wrote have said, I said Andromeda was canceled and that it would never be brought to market. If you look at what I said, I did not say that. I actually said...
You literally don't say that in the headline.
I don't.
The headline to the story does not say that.
A guy just this morning said to me, well, you're the only one saying it's canceled. And I said, go back and read what I said. I didn't say that, actually. So there's a chance there will be a device that is like a portable, foldable device running Windows that comes to market someday. It may not look like a phone. It might look like more like Surface Go. It might be like a clamshell device. It might be a PC. It might be, you know, a completely foldable piece of paper that runs Windows 10. I think they still want to make something like this that's foldable, but I think they're waiting to see what would be the best application and case for having something like this.
Yep.
All the fans of Windows Phone want Microsoft to release the Surface Phone, a.k.a. the Surface Andromeda Phone project that has been leaking out lately with the phone screen that could turn into the tablet. I'm doing this petition to see
this
how many...
This is the longest run-on sentence in the history of run-on sentences. Like, I wish... I don't agree with this. I would have helped him write this. I feel bad that this is the language we're using.
It has 15,000 signatures.
Read the sentence that begins with the word money, I think is the one that's the most beautiful one.
It goes
on for the rest of the
money.
That's one.
Is power. And if a lot of people want a Surface Phone like the ones in the leaks, then they will be forced into action. As everyone knows, Microsoft wouldn't be able to give a reason on why not to do it. Their investors, it's too much of a money opportunity to miss. I myself wouldn't mind paying between $799 and $999 in base figures. I'd be willing to pay more if the phone is truly groundbreaking when it comes out. I understand the phone probably would cost a good amount to produce for this phone if it happened. And it looked like the pictures that we have seen from those leaks, period. Now, I don't know if he ran out of steam or ran out of room.
He was just getting enthusiastic.
Yeah, exactly.
He had a heart attack. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But nevertheless,
so
14,470 signatures on this. And Paul, of course, you're the main reason because you wrote about it at Therot.com.
No, there were 11,000 almost when I wrote about it.
Oh, okay. Pretty funny.
So, you know, I've had people yelling at me on Twitter about this saying, you know, you said in your article that you think it's good they canceled it. I'm like, I do think it's good they canceled it. I don't think it was going to be successful.
Yeah, this is a stupid idea.
And by the way, it doesn't matter what Mary Jo thinks. It's
exactly.
What Satya Nadella thinks.
That's what I told him. I'm like, you guys act like we have all this influence on what Microsoft develops. We have zero influence. You fans
I'd like to
have
think
some
we have
more
1%
than we
of influence, but yes.
Chris Cappicella listens to this show, Mary Jo. If you had just supported this like it should have been supported, then I...
Yes. You are the thing that might have put this over the top. Thank you for torpedoing it along with my dreams.
Yeah.
My dreams!
You know, I will just say, another reason I'm happy they're not doing this is look what happened to HoloLens, guys.
Sure.
They showed the HoloLens years ago, right? They came to market with a developer kit. Then a bunch of their competitors came out and beat them at their own game, and Microsoft still doesn't have a consumer version of HoloLens in market. Okay, you want them to do that with Andromeda?
I have bad news for you folks that want a folding dual screen, blah, 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 whatever it is. Samsung's going to make one, you know?
They will.
Yeah.
They will.
And it's going to work 9. Just like Continuum works on Windows Phone, you know?
Yep.
It makes more sense when the app ecosystem is there.
Yeah.
I am frankly, and I think these people would look at the Surface Go, might find themselves, frankly, happier with that.
You know what, though? Here's the thing. In fact, the very first thing I ever wrote about Surface Go that I ended up not publishing was it started off sort of like, you know, pity poor Microsoft. You know, its fans are in a lather over this futuristic dual screen Surface phone, blah, 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 whatever it is. And then they make another tablet, you know. And the truth is, it's what Mary Jo said up front about the kind of the pragmatic nature of this stuff. Surface Go, as boring as that may seem to you, makes sense. And we already went through all the reasons why. This thing, as exciting as it may be in kind of a Minority Report futuristic science fiction future thing, it really doesn't make any sense. And I've been saying this for months, you know, it's cool looking is not a reason.
Yeah.
To make a device, it has to serve a purpose. You know, it has to have a market.
We didn't even bring this up. The rumor, the pretty strong rumor on Andromeda is it's ARM-based. So what apps are you going to run on this
thing? Not ready yet. It's just not ready yet.
Yeah.
It may get there. You know, in the same way that a future version of Surface Go may run ARM, a future version of Windows where there are more of those apps that run on ARM and ARM works better, it may start to make sense.
Agreed.
I don't think it makes sense today.
No, and I think they want to come out with something that is like this futuristic, cool form factor that makes great use of note-taking, since they're pushing the pen and they're really pushing the idea of note-taking and planning and to-do and all that stuff. I think they want to do this, but do it at the right time, right? With the right device.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that I can't watch the soccer game because YouTube TV seems to be down.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you doing a show now? The half is probably over, but I don't know because all I'm getting is... Oh, man. Is it up for you guys?
I don't...
I'm not trying to get it. I'm just looking
trying to watch TV right now? What's wrong with you?
I'm looking at the score, but I'm not going to say what it is now.
Yeah. Oh, don't say it, and I can't see it, so I don't know.
All I know is that the mostly Euro Cup is going to be worn by someone in Europe.
Somebody in Europe will get the Europe. you know? Very exciting for me. I'm just happy. All right. Maybe it's just me. Maybe Russell, our IT guy, decided that no one should be watching TV during work hours. All right, so Andromeda, you're
postponed. Russell, perhaps canceled.
My YouTube TV isn't working. I can't watch the game. Now, you didn't block TV or anything, did you? Okay, he says no. I'm kidding. I was just kidding. I was just teasing you, Russell. Wow, that was good. I didn't know you'd come so fast.
I was teasing you, but seriously, could you get on the horn with YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, what's going on? Apparently, people are watching it at home, so it's okay. Twitter's streaming it. The new TV for the youngins.
Oh.
The Twitter.
Jeez.
Twitter can't figure out what the hell it wants to be.
No,
that's for sure.
Can
I order flowers through Twitter yet? Because you know that's coming.
Soon.
Maybe it's using a bot or something.
Soon. All right. So we're done with Andromeda. Let's move on. like Freddy Krueger. I'm afraid to
launch anything on my computer now. Please don't crash.
The Andromeda strain. Oh, wait a minute. YouTube TV is down.
Oh.
Hey, everyone. Sincere apologies for streaming issues with YouTube TV. The timing is horrible. No kidding. But we're working on it to be up and running again ASAP.
It's not like it happened during the NBA Finals. Relax.
Windows 10, happy birthday. Okay, guess. Guess, kids. Those of you playing our home version of our game.
You're going to ask an unfair question.
How old is Windows 10? Take a guess. Okay. That's not an unfair question.
No, it's not. That's good.
Although I always find these difficult.
Me too.
3 years old.
Yeah.
This month.
Feels so much older.
It does. It does.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about that is that's when a new version of Windows has typically come out, right? Mm-hmm. This is the first version not to be on the three-year schedule since Vista, right? And Vista was the one that came late because of Longhorn and whatever. But it's been three years mm-hmm. ever since then on the major versions. And so this year we're waiting for a fairly non-major version, which is fantastic for reasons we'll discuss in a moment.
I thought it was 5 years. 3 years between Windows major versions. To
Yeah, three. Mm-hmm. It was the only thing Steven Sinofsky ever got right.
3 years.
Yep. He got it on time. He made it go on time. The train's running on time.
Yeah, just like Mussolini.
And they said,
we
do call him Il Duce.
For similar reasons.
Is it still the case that this is the last version of Windows ever? Is that still the case?
They still say.
There's a new regime in charge, right? I mean, this could change.
They made me a promise.
I don't like the name Windows 10. I don't like that continuing. I wish they would just call it Windows if they're going to do that. You know, it's just Windows, I think would be the right way to go. But there we go. We're on Windows 10. Well, at least it's the 10th version of Windows, right? Anybody?
No. But what's your analysis on how does it look? Like, what do you say?
It's terrible.
After
it's
3 years?
I like Windows 10. I like it a lot. I think if there's any problems at all, it's with these yearly semi-annual updates like 1803, where they break things.
I think
Windows 10 is a very – I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say it's the best version of Windows I've ever used. I really like it. I love Timeline.
I will say that the latest version of any product should always be the best version you've ever used. It is a sad truth that's not always been the case.
No, that's fair. You can't say Windows XP was the best version of Windows ever.
Well, Windows 8. I mean,
Yeah.
It's like a roller coaster ride. I agree with you that this is the best version. And even though I do have things that I've described them as kind of good, bad, ugly because I'm not imaginative. But when you look at the stuff that's really important, it's trending in the right direction. And the core parts of Windows, the most important things, are done correctly. And, you know, I list some of those things. But in the initial version of Windows 10, to me, one of the big deals was the return to that PC-centric design where Windows 8 was touch first. And I thought it was such a disaster. And then when you look at the most recent versions, the one that just came out last month or 2 months ago and the one that's coming out in the fall, you see that new focus on productivity. And the kind of the end of that nonsense kind of creative, you know, couple of releases where it was just ridiculous. But, you know, Windows as a service is interesting because my gut reaction to that is to kind of put that in the ugly category. But the reality is they've actually gotten a lot better at making that happen. I say this with my computer having just blue screened, but, you know, it's a fact that the previous two releases went out in a much more reliable fashion than had been the case previously. And the most recent version especially has gone a lot faster. I mean, the notion that you could service a legacy code base like Windows as if it were an online service or as if it were a mobile app, you know, is ludicrous on the surface. But I have to give them a little bit of credit. They're kind of doing it, you know. Mm. And then the major problems are all very obvious. It comes with crap where there's advertising built in. I kind of ding the Windows Insider program, not because it's not a good idea and not because there aren't good people working on it. Of course there are. I love those guys. But you know, you can 3 years in, you kind of see the problem with it. 3.5 years, almost 4 years in, really. It's all enthusiasts. Of course it is. Who else would join this thing? And I don't feel like they speak for the mainstream voice of the Windows user. You know, there are some couple of million, you know, whatever, several million people in this program, so probably a couple million who are super active. And those are the geeky guys that want Andromeda. You know, like that's – Andromeda is what you get when you let these guys run the show. And, you know, when they say, you know, go to the feedback hub and upvote stuff, you know, my wife is not going to the feedback hub. You know, normal people are not doing that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you do about it. But I think there's a flaw there that needs to be addressed.
Well, you know what's going to be interesting there now that Windows, that part of Windows where the insider program is now underneath the guy who runs Office, Rajesh Jha.
Right.
Like, how are they going to kind of merge the Office Insider and Windows Insider programs even more tightly than they are now?
They'll probably call it the Microsoft 365 Insider program.
They could,
won't
right?
Won't that be fun? You know, the interesting side note to that is there is one part of Microsoft that's updating at an even faster pace than Windows, and it's Office.
Office.
I don't know if you look at those monthly updates they put out where they say this is what we did this past month. They are a nightmare. Yep.
I know. There's a lot of stuff.
Features. It's everywhere. It's an explosion.
Yep.
And it happens every single month. It's crazy. I don't know how they do it.
I know. And can I just throw a comment in here? Because I didn't put this in the show notes, but I was talking to you about this online the other day. So Dynamics 365, you know, which is ERP and CRM, they're now going to a twice yearly update schedule too. And it's going to happen right around the same time that Office and Windows update. Like, so around, you know, March, April, and September, October. And the one difference in their program from the Office and the Windows one is there's no deferrals. Like, if you're on Dynamics 365 online, you have to take the update as soon as it's out. And the way they're kind of trying to do quality control on that is they're saying, we'll give you a sandbox to check out stuff before it goes live. And everything that is possibly a breaking change will shut off by default. So I was saying to Paul, wow, what if they did that to Windows? And you were like, nope, they can't do that to Windows.
Well, no, but what's the more interesting thing there is this is yet another way of doing things, right?
It is.
The schedule may be the same, but as far as like the policy about who gets what and when, it's different. And it's smart to do this with something like Dynamics because the audience is a lot smaller than it is for Office Windows.
True.
If this thing is successful, which, by the way, probably will be. I could see it moving over, they could use that success to influence how these other programs work. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm super curious how it's going to work out because the way they've been doing updates is they've been doing twice yearly updates, but kind of all at different times, not very well documented. They roll out and usually the rollout takes like multiple months. Like the thing that's called the spring update usually doesn't get to most users until like November, you know? So I'm like, okay, they got to get more in the schedule, right? Like, because they're just all over the place and they've already started cleaning that up with the latest update they're working on right now. So that's good. But the no deferral thing is kind of big. Like, it's like, ooh, you know?
Well, as Windows in many ways is going to get subsumed into Microsoft 365 and Office 365 obviously is serving the greater need of this bigger thing, which may become more central to what they're doing. It may just be a reality at some point. And it may be like the notion that Microsoft today has, what do they call them? Perpetual versions of Office, what we sort of used to think of as like on-prem or local, you know, individually purchased, whatever, retail packaging, whatever. And then they have these kind of subscription programs. And, you know, the bulk of this going forward, Microsoft wants to be subscription, but they still offer this other thing on the side for some amount of time until it stops making sense to do so. You know, that may be how Windows goes. Yeah. You know, no one is going to a Best Buy, picking up Windows in a box, bringing it to a cash register, buying it, bringing it home, sticking a disk in a drive and installing it. Like that's not,
right.
It's not the way things happen anymore.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about Redstone 5 in a moment.
Okay.
But we're going to take a break while I tell everyone it's time to get a subscription to a cable company that doesn't go down during the World Cup semifinals.
Your tip of the week is going to be for Sling TV.
Oh my God, this does not bode well for YouTube TV if they go down. Probably went down because so many people were watching it, right?
Right. Yeah.
What are they going to do when the final is on Sunday?
Yeah. It's almost like the internet isn't scalable enough.
if Google can't do it, who can do it?
I know.
WordPress?
That's a bad sign.
They should have used WordPress. That's what they should have done. WordPress.com could have handled it. They're already running 31% of the entire internet. Isn't that that's a mind-boggling statistic. 31% of all the web pages in the world, 31% run on WordPress. My little 1/1,000,000% my little corner of the world runs on WordPress. When my kids said, okay, Dad, we finally got the idea. We need a website. See, I think a lot of people, man, this happens all the time. I'll search for something and they'll say, oh yeah, we got a web page on it on Facebook. And I think what are you, nuts? Facebook is not your web page. Facebook's web page. That's Mark Zuckerberg. You every business, every individual, you should have your own web page. You control, you own, and you ought to do it at WordPress.com. That's what I told my kids, and I'm glad they got the message. I'm LeoLaporte.com if you want to visit my website. I use it because it gives me the freedom and flexibility to share my voice, my work, my way. If you're a business and you don't have a website, oh, I have a Facebook page. No. No. Your website can point to your Facebook page and your Twitter feed and all the other stuff, your Instagram, all that stuff. But you need to have one place you own that can never be shut down that's yours. And you may say, well, I don't want to handle all the technical details. You don't. WordPress.com does it all. That's why I'm on WordPress.com. I used to run my own WordPress instance on my own server. I spent more time tweaking it than I did posting. You don't need to do the coding or design. Why do you make a website? To tell the world about you, about what you do, about your business, about how your products. WordPress gives you all the tools you need to get your site up and running with no technical skills at all. And they'll make it look like your site. You know, they got hundreds of templates to choose from. Anytime you need help, their customer support team is there 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, weekends too. WordPress offers powerful e-commerce options ranging from a simple and effective buy button to a complete online store. So, yeah, you can sell on WordPress. And get this, plans start at just $4 a month. Now, I have the business plan because I don't know why. I'm a business, I guess. And I get the built-in SEO. You get the social sharing, which is really nice. So your customers can spread the word about you on their Facebook page and on their Twitter feed. It makes you even more visible. And, of course, all the plugins you need. I use a Kismet anti-spam plugin is awesome. It's the best anti-spam plugin for comments I've ever seen. I mean, it really, really works. In fact, I used to have my comments on a third part. I let WordPress handle all the comments now because they do such a good job and I can moderate and all that stuff. It's actually made me like comments again. I use the Google AMP plugin to speed up loading on mobile. 31% of all websites run on WordPress, including a few sites you may know. I'm not saying anything, but a couple of sites you may have heard of. Get started, including a lot of publications. Get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. WordPress.com/windows. 15% off when you go to WordPress.com/windows. Plus, Paul and Mary Jo will thank you, as will I. WordPress.com/windows. We thank him for making Windows Weekly possible. Possible. Don't tell me the score, Mary Jo.
I will not.
The thing is, I use YouTube to DVR it, YouTube TV.
Yep.
So now I'm really just out of luck.
Well, I assume they're recording it in the background somewhere. They've probably got a guy like filming a TV show.
I would assume nothing.
In the Google break room.
Their tweet still in the top there.
Well, it's like we went down the other day, so we don't have the semifinals of the World Cup.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be awful? Yeah, you're right. I don't know. On we go. RS5, Redstone 5. It's almost done, right?
Yeah. That's the thing that just came out today, right? So in the build, they just released a build today. They basically said we're winding down and Basically indicating that we're almost feature complete, which is kind of interesting timing because, or for me personally, I guess, back in early May, I looked at RS5. I went down the 11 builds they had put out at the time, kind of listed out all the features and kind of, you know, this is where we're at with this thing. And then in the 6 weeks or so that have occurred since or maybe 6-7 weeks, whatever it was at the time, I did another look at the 6 or 7 builds they had released since then. And okay, here's all the stuff. And I thought, you know, this is probably the majority of what's going to happen in this product. And since then, I think there have been 2 builds, maybe 17.7.1.1 and 1.3, I think. And I got to tell you, I am, as my daughter reminds me all the time, a highly negative person. I know that will be a surprise to some of you who know me as a bright and cheerful chap. But this release is one of the best things that's ever happened to Windows. And it's especially true given some of the nonsense that's occurred over those creators updates that they did. And if you just look at the stuff they're putting in this product, there are no big bang major features, but it is all productivity core feature stuff. And I just love it. I'm so happy they're doing this.
Yeah. It's going to be the best version of Windows ever.
Ever.
Yep. Eva.
But the one that came out today, let's talk about that one.
17.7.13.
Right.
Yep. As I put in the show notes, 17.7.13 brings all the Notepad users to the yard.
You're so with it, Mary Jo.
I'm so hip. I just can't stand myself, basically.
Can you please explain what that means for the old man here?
No, if you have to explain
it. Your milkshake, bringing the boys to the yard. Mm-mm. No? Nope. Okay. Anyway.
Paul wasn't born with that song as a hit.
He can Google that one. The biggest thing in today's build, Notepad, guys. I'm not making this up. It's not just me being the queen of Notepad. Like, there's so much Notepad stuff in here. It's insane. It's a little scary. Right.
Why, in fact, do you think? I mean, that's kind of interesting.
I think one reason is a lot of developers use Notepad, not just me. I mean, I use it just to write plain text, but a lot of developers still use Notepad. And that, you know, when they added some of the Linux line ending stuff, and now they're doing all these other things, not like adding emoji, but things like, you know, being able to search for wrap supporting wrap around file and replace. What else? The list is huge here.
Well, the big one is the font size thing. On the fly changing.
Yeah, on the fly font size enlarging. It's called quick text zooming under view, and then you see zoom.
What?
I probably shouldn't play any more of this, but
no, you probably
should. I don't even know you anymore.
This is the Notepad theme song, guys. If you were wondering. Yeah, stop there.
The video
may not be safe for the family
the
network.
The video is definitely not safe for.
Oh, no, it's not. But you can do things like better improvement when opening large files, support for control plus backspace for deleting the previous word. Lots of small things that kind of add up to a lot of big things. So like I said, I'm a little nervous about them tinkering with Notepad. I don't want them to make it more complex. I don't want them to break it. But they're adding things that people seem excited about at this point. All productivity things.
Control plus to change the font size on the fly.
Yep.
Huge.
Yep.
Common sense. Something you cannot do in Windows Mail. Actually, could you do that? Well, I guess you can, but it doesn't
respect the bounds
of the thing. I'm not sure how. No, I think you can. Yeah. It just doesn't work well. It's just broken. And it doesn't retain the size.
Right. And then there are a lot of other things that are not Notepad, but they're kind of minor. Like in Edge, you now can control autoplay permissions on a per-site basis. There's some tweaks to the toolbar options in the PDF reader in Edge. There's some things they're doing around the look and feel of Windows Defender Application Guard to make it easier for standalone users to install and configure their settings without needing to change the registry key settings. Some new things around remote desktop if you're using Azure Active Directory. So there's a whole list of stuff. There's quite a few features in this, plus fixes on top of that, too. So that's the build that came out today. And the other thing they said, as Paul indicated, is they're starting to fork Redstone 5 now so that there's going to be a new skip ahead ring. And if you're in the current skip ahead ring, you're going to be taken out of it basically and have to sign up for it again when it's available if you want to start going to Redstone 6 or whatever we're going to call the next version of Windows. You know, it might not be Redstone 6. Like, there's a pretty strong indication they're going to call it something like First Half 19, 1H19 instead of Redstone 6. Yeah.
My cat is literally biting my ankle right now.
Maybe he was mad about the Notepad theme song.
Yeah, she flipped over on her back and started pawing at my ankle like it was a mouse. Seriously. Okay.
Mine's asleep on my desk right now, which is very good.
Why can't you be asleep like a good cat?
Yeah, but I'm surprised they're adding so many features still at this point. They just had the bug bash, right? And now they're adding all this additional stuff. And I think they said last week that there's going to be one more bug bash. Is it the end of July or end of August?
Yeah. So my theory on the timing with this one is that they thought they were bringing in RS4 on schedule, finalized it, and then they had this huge problem.
Yeah,
it basically delayed the release of the OS by, I don't know, 3 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. And I think this time they come in early.
Mm-hmm. You know? Plus, in August, a lot of people from Microsoft take a lot of that month for vacation. And so, you know, I'm not going to say all work stops, but things slow down.
French?
For sure.
Well, but I mean, it will be feature complete by then, right? And so the focus on this product is going to be just winding it down, making sure they get rid of all the bugs and as many of them as they can.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those guys are working on features, right? And so that stuff is already in or not in. They already know where it's at.
Yeah. So,
I'm trying to think any other features. What about the display improvements? You want to say anything about that?
Yeah, I just want to highlight that real quick. Joe can't see that one.
Well, no, but this will benefit all three of us. So, if you're familiar with Android, for example, you know that you can go. There's a display zoom feature, and you can zoom everything into display by some percentage, right? So the icons and the text and whatever will be bigger. But they also have a text zoom feature, which zooms text separately from all of the other things. And that can be beneficial. You know, in iOS, one of the big tips I have for people who have bad vision or older or whatever is it allows you to go in and bold the text. A lot of people find that really beneficial on an iPhone, especially on the smaller screen devices. I think it's the Samsung Galaxy S9, because they kind of do their own custom work with Android. They actually have different system fonts for the text. And some of those fonts are a little bolder stroked, and they're easier to see. Yeah. So it's not really quite bolding, but it's got a nice effect.
Yeah.
So back in the pre-high DPI days, Windows always had ways to zoom on-screen elements. And one of the elements you could zoom was text. You know, some of the other ones were just like individual controls. You could zoom certain controls. You could zoom the text in certain controls. Remember, we used to have all these crazy things like...
There's a whole control panel you could mess with.
Yeah, just dedicated to this. So as we move forward to Windows 10, especially, the control panels are going away and they have these system settings. And one of the system settings we've gotten is the ability to scale the display. So if you have a really high DPI screen that's 3000 by 2000 on a 13-inch panel and it's set to 100% scale, you know, the icons are going to be tiny. You can't see anything. So you can set it to 200 or 225 and then it looks normal to you. And, you know, the effective resolution might, be 1400 by 900. Whatever.
This is not new. They had that slider, the DPI slider, before, didn't they?
No. I'm not saying that's new. I mean, that's the only way we can scale the display.
Right. It scales everything. Right.
So one of the things that's missing is the ability to go back.
I don't know what the hell's going on over there.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't want to know. The mouse is on the ground. The cat is on the desk.
Okay. Uh-huh. What a surprise.
So what they're doing is adding the ability to separately scale the text. And it sounds like a dumb little regression or whatever.
The rest of it doesn't scale just the text. Is it on everything, on all the apps?
Assuming that, most of the apps. So it assumes that the apps are using like the system text to display text, right? And so the way you see it is in things like the start menu, obviously the text and start menu items, or if you go into the settings app and there our text names for each of the icons, whatever. Those things can now, the text in the UI, the text in compatible apps, it's not going to be desktop apps, obviously, but will scale separately from the system itself. So you can still scale this, you know, everything if you want, but you can scale the text separately. And that's actually kind of huge for me. I wish they had like the ability to change the boldness of the strokes, but this is a big step. Because I often find that what I have to do is scale the whole UI up.
Right.
To the point that almost looks cartoonish.
Yeah,
so I can read it. But what I want to do is keep that down a little bit and move the text up a little bit.
Individual apps will let you. Like the browser, I will press Control Plus a bunch of times.
That's right.
And but now this is going to be system-wide.
That's right. And so historically, text-based apps, reading apps, writing apps, like word processors, text web browsers, like you said, have supported this individually. But now they're supporting it at a – well, we used to have this. Remember, you know, before you could set the resolution.
Yeah.
And then you could zoom text.
Right.
And text in different places.
This is
you could
nice.
Have the title
this
bar text would be different. That, you know. Yeah. Yeah. It's a goofy little thing. So I think a lot of people, like, they see this. They're like, what's the big deal? I don't get it.
That's because they're under 40, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you need those cheater glasses now, you're going to thank me for this one because this is a big deal.
I find I do that all the time. And it really helps for – I actually ended up getting – for my desktop computer glasses that are basically slightly magnified. They're readers for the computer.
Okay.
But even then, it's just easier on the eyes if the text is big. And if I'm doing a lot, if I'm not a writer, but I do a lot of coding, if I can make that font 18 points and you're right, a thicker
stroke.
And
you get a nice, this kind of a nice, it's not quite bold, but it's like a,
yeah.
It's like a medium bold stroke to it. It's just an additional weight.
It's such a difference.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, your eye fatigue is just goes way
down. Yeah, I'm ecstatic that they're doing this.
Okay. Okay, so that's big, and that's an RS5. Somebody in the chat room is saying, okay, so RS6.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, give us 30 days, guys. We'll get there. We'll get there.
All right. Office 365. Is it time to talk about that?
Don't be like Mary Jo's cat. This cat is a menace. This animal.
What's he doing now? Yeah, mine is doing the same thing. He's laying down like that.
Oh, that's cute.
Our
neighbors. Get this. Yeah. We're walking. Lisa and I are walking, and we see our orange cat, which is Hamilton, who's been kind of in and out, missing. Mm-hmm. And you know, males, I guess. You don't know this, Mary Jo, because Sirachi's inside the cat. But if they get to go outdoors, they will wander, especially in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we just figured, he's wandering. But we wouldn't see him at night. We'd see he'd come in the morning, eat, leave a bird, and go.
Yep.
thanks for the breakfast. Here's a small token of my appreciation. And then disappear. Then all of a sudden, around Christmas time, we didn't see him for a long time. And we put up flyers. Mm-hmm. We talked to the neighbors. So... a couple of days ago, Lisa and I are walking around. We see Hamilton and go, hi, Hamilton. And the little girl comes out of the neighbor's house saying, that's not Hamilton. That's Archie. Santa gave him to me.
Oh, man.
The neighbors see, apparently, and by the way, we had put leaflets in their post, in their mailbox. We had talked to them about our missing orange cat. Decided that our cat was a stray.
Yikes.
Did it have tags and
he's
stuff?
He's chipped. Well, you don't put tags on a cat because they'll strangle themselves. So
sure.
He's not wasn't tagged, but he's chipped. He was neutered. He was clearly well cared for. They decided he was a stray, locked him in at Christmas. That's why we didn't see him.
Gave him to their kid.
And gave him to the kid.
That's really bad.
So I'm just curious, now that you've told the story, how did you handle this?
Well, Lisa wants to put a big sign on the lawn saying, please don't steal the rest of our cats.
Yikes.
I think I've persuaded her not to do that.
I would have been like, honey, could you go get your mother? Thanks.
Well, we did. We did. The mother came.
Did you have a conversation?
The mother came running out and says, please don't talk to my daughter.
Oh.
Because.
So she knows she did it.
I think she does. She claims, we thought that we took him to the vet and the chip, they read the chip and then called and nobody responded. So the vet told us it was a stray, which is all a lie. We checked. The chip still has our name, address, and phone number. The same address that's right next door.
Yeah.
That's
Once they're chipped, you know where their owners are.
Yeah. So they just decided, I guess, that they wanted this really nice orange cat for their daughter. And what are you going to do? You can't. The daughter's
seven.
What are
you going to do? Wow. You don't want to know what I would do, but I can tell you the cat wouldn't be at my neighbor's house anymore.
Well, we thought about stealing him back, but that seems kind of low, especially because the kid is innocent.
Call the police. Your parents are terrible.
They've stolen my cat.
That's the lesson.
Can you call the cops and say, my neighbor stole my cat? I don't think you can.
Yeah, you can.
I guess that's property.
You put a chip in it. It is your property.
Yeah.
What, they stole it from you.
And this is why Lisa won't let me get a shotgun.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
No, she's more angry than I am because she raised the cat. The truth is he was kind of holy hell. The other cats didn't like him. He was like Sriracha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Lisa had marks all over her from being scratched and bitten by him.
Man.
So we decided, you know what? If they want as Hamilton or Archie, okay. But what are you going to do? I know. Isn't that terrible?
Isn't that awful? That's really terrible.
That is not okay.
It was a stray.
That's really terrible.
But
I did the same thing with my neighbor's
homes.
Car. It was out in the street. It could be anyone.
Somebody abandoned it.
It was sitting there overnight. Why, you know?
Oh man, what a
That's
life.
Bad. That's low.
Filed off
it's
the
low.
Van, and
it's pretty low. And we really did. Lisa was very sad for a few days because she really loves that cat. She raised him from a kitten. I showed the lady the baby pictures. Said, "Oh yeah, we
did
raised."
Did she say
him.
It wasn't him?
No. Well, not after I showed her the baby pictures. Her story was, we thought he was abandoned, so we took him in. Mm. Even though we'd gone to
you
them.
You put a flyer on their
house. Yeah.
I know.
Well, we talked to them.
I mean.
We talked to them and said, you know, keep an eye out.
Them.
Yeah, keep an eye out for our orange
cat. It's like the person next door has kidnapped your child. Like, no, we haven't seen him.
Well, it's a cat. It's not a kid. But anyway, we have two others, so it's okay. Lisa
you
still
have two
may
other
put
kids too. That doesn't
mean
true. You can fake one.
That's a good.
It's like
point.
Two out of three ain't bad, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them left the
it's
nest.
It's a little sketch.
I would watch your yard furniture. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, no, we did. You know, we've decided. I guess we better lock the door. We don't know what else might go missing.
I'm kidding.
That is
it's
really
a very
kind of
nice cul-de-sac.
Behavior.
You know, quiet neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We know all
There's
the neighbors.
There's always one.
Lisa was sad. That's the only thing. That
that's too bad.
Because she raised him. He was a hellion. I mean, it was okay.
The other two cats are happy. And then go get him. You know, put him down and rather than let them have it.
I don't think I'd go that far.
Not only can you not have him, I'm killing him.
Yeah. No. If I can't have him, no one can have him.
I hope Lisa's not listening. Office
360. I'll show them.
I'll just take a couple of legs. You didn't need those.
Yeah, here you go, Solomon. I'll solve this problem.
Here, we'll split the cat.
Do you
Let's
want
split
the front
him.
Or the back?
Somebody in the chat room, loquacious one, is saying, worst thing you can do is get in a war with neighbors because you just have to kind of, we have terrible neighbors. The neighbor up the hill from us came onto our property and stripped the bark off the bottom of all the trees that were blocking the view of his shed. Apparently he wanted to turn his shed into an Airbnb because he's renovated it and killed him.
Oh my God.
Killed all our trees. So we had a dead ones. We took the dead ones out, all but one. Just sitting right in front of his window. Just as a dead tree. Just right there.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess we live in a bad neighborhood or the world is changing or something. I don't know.
That is amazing.
Makes me want to move to New York where everybody's friendly, nice.
Exactly.
Kind. Office 365. I think we should move on.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to tell you about a feature. I'm going to tell you about a feature people are very excited about for OneDrive for Business. So Microsoft has this new feature called Known Folder Migration. And what this does is it helps organizations make sure users are saving their documents, desktop, and pictures in the cloud instead of locally. And so, you know, people are like, wow, what if the users don't want to do that? Well, this is more like if your company is like, you know, we really want you to save your business stuff up in the cloud. And the message that you get to make this seem more palatable is your IT department wants you to protect your important folders.
Yes.
Right. So that if somebody steals your PC or you lose it, it'll be all backed up and you'll just be able to implement them on the next PC. So that's a good way to look at this, right? Your company can, using this feature, you set up a group policy so that this automatically happens, but they will notify you. You'll get a notice on your machine saying, hey, by the way, they backed up your stuff to the cloud. And the other interesting thing about this feature is it works on Windows 7, 8, and 10. So it's not just a Windows 10 feature. So at first when I saw this, I was like, wow, that seems like overstepping the bounds. But many IT pros I talked to said, you know what? We really want to get our users to do this and stop saving stuff locally that is work stuff. And so this is great that this is a feature that is going to help companies do this.
Yay.
I think this is more than reasonable, actually. Yeah. I mean, they have often regulatory reasons for that.
That's right.
Exactly.
They have to have they have to have control over that data.
We had an employee. It's in our employee. You want more stories from the Leo Wars?
Yeah. Tell me more terrible neighbor stories so I can get infuriated.
We had an employee. It's in our book that when you we give everybody, we use G Suite. So we give everybody a twit.tv account. And we say if any files that you need to store need to be stored at twit.tv in our Google Drive. That way we control it. But she, in violation of that, was storing all the files, and she had a lot of bookkeeping file stuff on her personal Google Drive.
Leo, you can tell us it was Lisa.
It was Lisa. No, it wasn't Lisa. Because we downsized. We let a bunch of people go last year, and she was one of them. And we're watching as she's one by one deleting all the files. Nice. We have no access to them, and she's deleting them one by one from her Google Drive.
Yikes.
Oh boy. Yeah. Then she sued us. But that's another story for another day.
Yikes, yeah.
No, but this is a really good point. I tell the story in the LastPass ads. LastPass is a sponsor about how we had an engineer, also no longer working for us, who couldn't remember the password, so we put him on a public website.
Yep. That is so amazing. This is, well, they're always accessible. It's understandable.
Yeah, it's accessible. Employees will do things heedlessly. I don't think it's malicious. But they will do things heedlessly that can really be a legal issue, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So the one other interesting thing about this known folder migration feature is they're starting to see if this is something they should bring to OneDrive Consumer also. And they're testing it with some consumers to see how it goes. So this may also be an option for consumers.
People have asked me about that, what you just said. Yeah. And you can do it manually today in OneDrive, right? You can go into the OneDrive settings and say it's not all of the folders, but for, I think it's documents, music, videos, maybe.
Yeah. It's like folder redirection or something, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And it works fine. The problem is it's not tied to your Microsoft account. So I think the consumer version of this would be, this is one of those things that syncs. So when you come on board on a new PC, automatically those folders would sync up to OneDrive. Mm-hmm. And stuff you would, synced on a different computer would be there. And that's probably
if you wanted it to be there.
Of course you would choose that. Yeah, that's the difference. And that's why I think the OneDrive for Business thing is reasonable. It doesn't really matter what your users want. I mean, you don't even have to have a regulatory reason. I'm sorry, this is a company. This is our data. We own this, not you. This is our policy. So I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, employers have every bit of the rights here, right?
Yeah.
If it's on your work PC and it's the company data, it's hard to argue against it.
Yeah, there's no argument.
Right.
Yep.
Anything else to say about Office 365?
Oh, I'll just mention this because I get this question a lot. Everybody says, when is Teams coming to U.S. government cloud customers? We know when it is now, July 17th. It's going to start rolling out to the government cloud. You wouldn't believe how many times I get this question. It's like literally every week. You know how you get certain questions every week? I get this question all the time.
Yep.
So that's all I have to say about that. It's coming. The end.
The end. The end of the story. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for playtime for Sirachi. Because Paul is going to do his Xbox update.
As I say so often, this will be quick.
Yeah, you always say that.
No, it's quick. So Microsoft is now publicly delivering their what they're calling the July update for Xbox One. This is something that insiders have been testing over the past couple months. A bunch of small things, but there are two very notable changes. One of them is the ability to group games in your games and apps list, which I think is huge. It's a lot like it is on a mobile phone. You know, if you install 100 apps on your phone and you go to the all apps list, you know, scroll, you know, whatever. And you can kind of filter it. But the ability to put things in folders, basically, and just segregate them, I think is important. So that's kind of cool. But the bigger one long term is something called Fast Start. And this is going to be particularly important for the subscribers to the Xbox Game Pass subscription.
That's me.
Yeah. So it's a little vague right now, but basically Fast Start is something that Microsoft is adding to games that you download from the internet so that you can get into the game more quickly than was the case previously. So, you know, if you have a 17 gig game, it's downloading, it's Xbox Live, so it takes 3 days. And at some point into the download, it will say the game is now ready to start. And depending on what the game is, you might be able to play part of the single player campaign or just the beginning of the game or whatever while it's downloading in the background. So according to Microsoft, this is not something that developers have to explicitly support. It's something they will do automatically to games. For some reason, they're doing it on a game-by-game basis. So it's going to be some selection of games and then more over time. They haven't actually yet documented what those games are. They're saying that they're going to start twice as fast as before. We don't know how fast they started before, so we don't know what that means. I think this is them taking the first step toward true game streaming, frankly. So it's a baby step. It's but I think this is one of those things that will have ramifications down the road. And there's not much else to say about it because it's really impossible to know how well it works. I when I first heard about this, I thought, well, I'll write up something about this, and it's impossible. There's not a lot of information, and there's not any way really to look at, you know, two systems and say, oh, you know, here's how it works. You know, look, it is twice as fast. I mean, they say it's twice as fast. That's really all I can say.
That was fast. Twice as fast.
Oh, just one quick note. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm teasing you.
I just prestiged again in college. I'm kidding. I didn't have a chance to write this up. This happened right before we started the show. But at the Special Olympics, Microsoft has just hosted their first ever Xbox gaming tournament. And so it was a chance to kind of bring that kind of esports type thing to the Special Olympics. So I'll take a look at the story later. Maybe I'll write something up. But that's pretty cool that they were able to do something like that. See, that was quick.
Yay. Well, I will quickly pause for the pause that refreshes a word from our sponsor. And then the back of the book with Paul's tips, Mary Jo's picks, all of that stuff, and some beer is here. But first, let's talk about home buying.
Yeah.
The most expensive thing you'll ever buy. Unless you're rich enough to buy a submarine or something. And it's kind of the most nerve-wracking purchase, especially if you're home hunting now. You go out, you start looking. It sometimes can take a while, months. You know, you don't want to be rushed. You want to find the right house. Meanwhile, as is happening, interest rates start ticking up. And you feel like it's kind of like a time bomb. Might rush you into buying a house you're not really that interested in. We've got a solution from our sponsor, Quicken Loans, the best lender in the country, and Rocket Mortgage. They're doing something about that, you know, time bomb of interest rates. They call it the power buying process. Here's how it works. Quicken Loans, as always, verifies your income, assets, and credit. They do it fast, in less than 24 hours. They'll give you a verified approval. That means, basically, it's as good as cash. When you say to the buyer or the seller, we want to buy this house, they know you're good for it. You know, sometimes people say, we'll buy this house contingent on a loan. Yeah, no contingency. We'll buy this house. Once you're verified, you qualify for, and this is really cool, the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They lock your rate up for 90 days. If it goes up, your rate stays the same. Oh, but if it goes down, your rate goes down. So it can never go up, and it can go down. You win either way. It's kind of awesome, and it's exactly what you'd expect from America's best mortgage lender, Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. rocketmortgage.com/windows. Rate Shield approval is valid only on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. rocketmortgage.com /windows. We thank Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans for their support
of Windows Weekly.
Now we go to Paul Thurrott for his tip of the week.
Yeah, hopefully it won't blue screen in the middle of this. We covered this a little bit, but I want to kind of hammer this one home. If you are considering buying the Surface Go, do not buy the base configuration.
Oh, good.
Jump forward directly to the higher-end configuration. So the base configuration is $400. The other configuration is $550. So it's $150 more. For that, you get double the RAM, 4 gigabytes to 8 gigabytes, which I think is important. You get double the storage, 64 to 128, which I also think is important. But the more important bit on the storage is that speed issue we were talking about. You go from really slow eMMC storage to really fast NVMe-based SSD storage. It's super important. Now, I mentioned that I've heard from people who said, you know, actually, the 4 gig eMMC thing is fine for me, blah, blah, blah. No, it isn't. And if you – no, and I mean that. I mean that – it's not. And if you think you're going to hand this thing to a child and that will be okay, what I would say to that is that the types of normal human beings that you might think would be fine with this lower end configuration are not going to be, because those types of normal human beings are going to want to run normal applications,
right?
Which include such things as Microsoft Office, Google Chrome, Apple iTunes. All of those things would benefit from the RAM especially, but also from the faster storage speed. Don't be dumb with this. This is not a place to save money. You want to save money, get the cheap type cover. Don't get the pen. Whatever. Don't cheap out on this thing. I think this is going to make a humongous difference.
Actually, we're going to test these things. A good tip from Mary Jo, because don't get the pen, because she's right. I never use a pen. I still got it.
Yeah.
But I'll never use it. So that's, yeah. Can you use the pen from other Surface devices? Is it the same
pen?
Yeah. And
Maybe,
you can also use third-party pens.
So I could use the HP NVX2's pen?
No.
No. Okay.
No, those are not.
Certain ones, right?
Certain ones are, yeah. I don't know. I want to say they changed the pen when they went from Surface Pro 3 to 4. They've updated, but it's the same technology. But the pen from Surface Pro 4 is forward compatible with what we have now. I think the newer pen supports tilt, which wasn't in the original. I'm losing sight of what's what here. But the one of the things that's missing from Surface Go is that Pixel Sense accelerator chip that they introduced first with the new Surface Pro, and it's also in Surface Book 2. This is the thing that creates a near lateness kind of writing experience. We'll have to see what that's like in real life. I think it's going to be fine, honestly, if you've ever written on like a Surface Pro 3 or a Surface laptop or whatever. I don't think the experience is bad. But I can see why they wouldn't put this in a low-end device.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I got the mouse, keyboard, and pen mostly because I'm going to review it. But I think I will use the keyboard. I think that's kind of important.
I think you'll use the keyboard.
Yeah. You'll love it. You'll love that it's there when you need it.
Yep.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Burgundy Alcantara.
Just don't eat, Cheetos before you start typing.
Exactly.
I do agree. I do agree with your tip. In fact, I had the same gut reaction. And you see this, I think this is I saw this, predictably irrational. They give you a low ball price with a configuration probably no one wants.
Right.
It gets you in the door.
It gets you in the door. And then they know that people will say, but for $150 more, 8 gigs of RAM, I get double the hard
By the way, in this case, if you look at the way Apple does things, to go up in RAM on a device is usually like $100.
Yeah.
And it kind of seems like a ripoff, And if you look at this at the Surface, pardon the pun, $150 for double the RAM, double the storage, are they kind of stroking us here? And I think the answer is no. I think this is reasonable for what you're getting, especially
also,
because of the speed of the storage.
$50 discount card if you buy this through Best Buy, right? Like you get a $50 credit to Best Buy.
Because then you have to go to Best Buy again. So
I don't want to go to Best Buy the first time. All right. Here's a question from Alex Gumpel, though, that is actually being asked in the chat room as well. They currently have bundles on the Surface Pro.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. So
and
we
you
talked
can get
about
an $800 Surface Pro.
That's right.
Which is roughly comparable to, let's say, the Go with a keyboard, the 650 Go.
Oh, okay. So you've reminded. So right when I was blue screening, the issue I wanted to raise was Microsoft has been working toward this thing for a little while now. They've been reducing prices on Surface Laptop and Surface Pro, which to date have been their kind of, you know, entry level within the context of Surface. And the way they've done that is twofold. They've introduced lower end configurations with 4 gigs of RAM and a lower end processor and not very much storage, which is kind of a garbagey way to do it. But then they've just kind of lowered prices. And so the bundle you're talking about, which is the Surface Pro Platinum bundle, is a Core i5. Granted, it's 7th gen, but whatever. Core i5, 8 gigs of RAM, 120 gigs of storage with a Platinum type cover. That's a fantastic deal. You know?
And that was $800.
$800.
Yeah, so as you can see, this box is unopened. Because the minute Alex Gumpel bought this, avec clavier type cover, they announced
Here's
the go.
The deal. I think, I don't think. For me personally, that device you're holding there, it would be far better. It's an excellent device.
And it's only $150 more.
But that's the thing. It's the second configuration to go is $150 more. This one is $150 more.
They're clever, aren't they?
But it's not really $150 more because you have to buy the type cover. So it's really a $550 Surface Go.
This includes the type cover.
No, I know that. So $550 Surface Go, $100 for the type cover is $650.
Right.
That's the $150.
That's what I'm saying. $650 versus $800.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So that's a reasonable. That's why this thing fits into the product.
Because it's 150.
It literally goes up in these
little
steps.
Bit of an incremental step.
Yeah.
The other thing is this is small. This is bigger, and that may. I don't know. I mean, Alex liked his old Surface Pro 3.
It is not big. It's not big.
Plus, I feel like the reason you're getting a Go is because you want something really small.
Right.
Here's the other thing about the Surface Pro. Yeah. If you go back to Surface Pro 4, and I asked Microsoft to let me review one of these, and they never did, but there was a Core i3 version of that product that was fanless and silent. And I was curious about what a difference that would make. When you flash forward to the new Surface Pro, which is the one you're holding there, the Core i5 version is fanless and silent.
Right.
And, you know, look, they're going to have to step it down.
Is the SSD NVMe?
Yeah. So you're getting...
It's also, I should point out, Windows 10 Pro.
That's true, which is worth $50.
Yeah.
You know. Yep. So everyone has... This is the deal. It's Windows. You have all kinds of choices.
Yeah,
and we're just looking at Surface devices.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can't afford it, you can get the Surface Go or another device. If the Surface Go wasn't enough, you can get a Surface Pro. And that's an excellent example. That's a great deal. And that deal's in place now, by the way, through September. I don't remember the exact date, but it might be literally through the end of August, I think, is the time frame.
The i5 is going to be a lot faster than what is basically an i3.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to make a difference.
Yeah. So you would say to Alex, keep it. Yeah.
Alex wants that one.
He wants this one.
I think so.
All right. Thank you.
Don't cheap out, Alex.
Don't cheap Save out.
I'll buy the sushi next time. Get the more expensive one.
Stay strong, Alex.
Whatever you say, Paul.
But we'll get the Surface Go by August 2nd. He has a month to return that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you'll then be able to say, do I want the lighter, smaller?
I talked about that 2 weeks, you know, since we saw our Surface Go. One of the things I've been doing since then is using the new Surface Pro more often. And I wrote a bunch of the stuff that I wrote about Surface Go on Surface Pro just to kind of reacquaint myself with how the type cover works and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is a beautiful, beautiful machine. It's really nice.
You know, it's funny. I've never owned a Surface tablet. I've owned, I had the Surface RT. That doesn't count.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, we don't speak. We don't speak.
Me too. That's the only one I ever owned.
I wish you could stop.
Yeah. I gave the Surface Book to Megan. They had the original Surface Book. Yep. You and I had that one. I have the Surface Laptop. Lisa's using that one. That's the burgundy one. She likes that a lot. Computer. Yeah.
Yep.
But I thought this might be good, given it's lightweight, for taking on my travels. Because I really want to take an iPad with me, but this is more capable. Yeah.
What's the weight on a Surface Pro? I bet it's 1.5 pounds-ish.
I don't know.
It's got to be in that area.
Without the cover, you think, or with the cover?
Yeah, no, without the cover. Surface Go with the cover is about 1.5 pounds.
Yeah.
That's not much, boy. That's pretty darn light.
No, it's pretty light.
Yeah. Yep.
It's really
depends on what you're
down.
Doing, though. I mean,
it's going to come down to battery life, speed, and size.
Yep.
Well, battery life speed and size, you might want to just get an iPad. It depends on what you want to do with it, right?
Yeah.
But the iPad, for instance, I'll be using this to process photos. I could do but I can't really do RAW on the iPad. I'm not going to use Lightroom on this thing probably, but I could use my camera RAW processors.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what you can do on an iPad for photos.
I do. It's not as good. Yeah, there's stuff. It's good stuff, but it's not as good. You can use Lightroom.
But that's the thing. Again, it depends where you're at. You know, every device serves some need. Some have whatever advantages.
That's right. That's the beauty of, and by the way, that's one of the reasons really that sells me on the Windows ecosystem. I'm not a huge fan of the operating system compared to macOS, but the diversity of the hardware is incredible really good. I mean, there's really great choices.
Surface Go doesn't, it's not, I think we might have talked about it. It's not the iPad killer, right? It's additive. It's just another choice.
Yeah. Just one more.
You have choices. It's fine. Just get whatever makes you happy. It's okay.
When's Lightroom coming out in the Windows Store? When's the Adobe
right
said they
the
were
only
doing that, right? I think they did.
Did they?
Yeah, they have it on Android and iOS.
I mean, I want to know when Adobe Premiere Elements is coming out in the store. I would buy that immediately. Yeah. Right now, we have Photoshop Elements and then some mobile apps. So I don't know.
All right. Your second tip is good for us audiobook listeners.
Yeah, we don't get to do Audible picks anymore. But the interesting thing about
they're
Audible
still a sponsor. They just don't like you.
Okay. Well, then forget it.
No, I don't. No, they're still a sponsor. They don't. They run ads every once in a while because they've been around so long. They figure right, so everybody listen, knows.
You can buy these things from the Apple Store for all I care. The point is. I don't do this because they're sponsors. I do this because I actually listen to Audible every single day.
Me too. Yeah.
And
so what do you like?
The thing that, so this year, it's interesting. I've actually had a bunch of really good books this year. They're either literally new to this year or they're just new to me in some cases. But, you know, the latest Stephen King book, The Outsider, is unbelievably good and
good.
Narrated by Will Patton, who's one of my favorites.
Love him. Yeah.
Keith C. Blackmore, the guy that writes the Mountain Man series, read by the way, R.C. Bray. I came to him because of R.C. Bray through the Martian. I listened to that entire series. He wrapped it up and concluded it. This year he published a prequel book to the series. So it's like couldn't be happier. I don't know if it's the same with you, but oftentimes for me, when I find either a writer I like or a narrator I like, you kind of finish it. And it's like when you finish a binge watch series, like you're kind of lost now and you don't know what to do.
What do I do?
And nothing else ever kind of measures up. But I went and I looked for books by the same guys, either written or read by the same guys. And so one of the books I listened to this year was Deliverance by James Dickey, which obviously was made into a famous movie, read by Will Patton, the guy I love from all the Stephen King books.
He's got that kind of funny voice.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. So he's a Southerner. He's got a great voice for that. Pet Sematary, which is an old Stephen King book. Came out in a new version of Audible, read by
Michael C. Hall. I love Michael C. Hall.
Yeah, from Dexter.
Dexter.
So I got a bunch of, you know, I have some nonfiction stuff in there. I have some re-listens I had done before. But the thing
Jason Fung book. I love.
That's huge.
Yep.
Yep. I've actually listened to that one twice already. The one I just got that's not on this list is because, again, you know, I having finished whatever one I was on last of these lists in this list, I'm lost, and I'm literally lost. And I have one credit to spend, and I'm looking at the books I have in my wish list. I'm like, I don't know. There's a book about Van Halen written by their their former manager, Noel.
You never cease to amaze.
The thing is, I listened to the preview, and I'm like, I know this voice. And it's the voice of the guy, because I don't remember. His name is Joe Late. What's his name? Let me look it up. It's the voice of the guy, Fred Berman. He read there's an industry book about Sega and Nintendo that I recommended last year.
Book.
It's amazing.
Yes.
It's that guy. It's called Console Wars.
Console Wars is really good.
This book's awesome. I've already listened to like 2 hours. I just got it the other day. Like it's, if you like Van Halen, there's another one. You know, it's not even on the list. I'm already working on the second half of the year.
Music is my life, or at least it was for a great many years. By the late 1970s, I had apprenticed under the legendary Bill Graham as a stage manager and sound engineer.
Running with the Devil. Can I add one? Yep. Also with a guy whose voice I love, and it's been my favorite read so far, and it's actually pretty obvious, but I just love it. By the way, I have two credits on Audible, so I got the outside. Just got The Outsider.
Yep.
Anthony Bourdain's book, Kitchen Confidential.
I have that. Does he record it?
There's every possibility this book could finish me in the business. There will be horror stories.
This is the book that started him in the business. It finished him in the cooking business, but it started him in the Anthony Bourdain business. And he's so good in it.
So I thought I have this. I must have it on the Kindle. It says I don't have it. So
well, it came out in 2002. It might have been before you were, you know, a big Audible guy. But let me tell you, it's worth getting it again to listen to Bourdain read it. And there's one chapter, I think it's chapter 8, where he describes his day as a chef.
Right.
And it gives you such respect for the people who are working in the kitchens of your favorite restaurants. Yeah. It's insane.
Cooks and writers share a lot of the same
except your hands aren't all cut up. But other than that.
Yeah. But we have the same
no burns
tendencies and yeah.
Yeah. A lot of heroin addiction there, but no burns. Yeah.
I didn't want to say it quite that way, but yeah.
No.
The burns are mostly psychological.
It is. It's funny. I didn't really get on the Bourdain train until after he died, and I deeply regret it now. I'm rewatching all the shows and
I am.
I listen to the book. He's great. He's great.
I've always liked him. In some ways, his kind of outsider shtick got a little. If you watched like 220 episodes of the show, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if the audience is prepared for this terrible story, but if you want to hear the most awful Anthony Bourdain anecdote of all time, in researching our current trip, we of course are watching shows about Scandinavia, Scotland.
Oh, the shark.
There's an episode he does of, I think it's Sweden, not just Stockholm, but Sweden.
Yeah.
He goes up to some place in northern Sweden and he hates it. And he literally, this is so awful, imitates hanging himself in his hotel room.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
That's how the episode ends.
Like,
So
my wife and I are watching this. We're like, what?
Oh, my God.
They should take this
one off of Netflix.
Yes. Why is that?
Yeah, they should.
That's awful. It's awful.
Yeah. Because, of course, as probably most of you know, that's how we ended up dying.
It's just unbelievable.
Oof.
And I still don't, you know, he was in the middle of such a great career and so much life, and I never will understand what happened, but everybody lives their own personal internal horror, right?
It's exactly. Yeah. And I kind of mentioned the writer thing. The truth is, I feel like people in our industry, the technology industry, also, I think there's like a, I think there's just like a broken personality complex kind of almost on the spectrum kind of thing that I see a lot. And when I hear about this kind of stuff, if you don't have depression or if you've never been depressed, you don't really understand it, obviously. But I feel like there's a lot of it out there. And I think it's a lot more common than people.
The way he describes his kitchen
understand.
And people work in it, you know, it's the outcasts. It's the people who didn't fit in. And he points out not all kitchens are like mine, but it is interesting reading this now in light of what happened and looking for the signs. It's a great tragedy, but he was a great writer. And I've seen the TV shows, but nothing, frankly, tops Kitchen Confidential. I think that's the book that made him.
That kind of kickstarted his second career, really.
Yeah,
right?
Made him a celebrity. Yeah. Made him a star.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for Mary Jo Foley.
Please be less depressing than I was.
Thank you. Cheer us up.
I have a nice upbeat tip for Enterprise Pick of the Week. Another one where people ask me this almost weekly. They were saying, you know, back in June, Microsoft said the April update for Windows 10, also known as 1803, was ready for business deployment. But then people would go to Microsoft's official website where they have their Windows 10 release information and their history. And if you looked at what it said on there, it said it wasn't ready for business. And so I kept periodically checking this chart and I'm like, nope, still, they haven't updated it. Well, that's weird. They told us it was ready. But as of yesterday, July 10th, they have marked 1803 officially ready for a semi-annual channel deployment. So people who have been waiting for this chart to change, it changed. And what is different is they put the June cumulative update as part of what you need to be designated as ready.
Oh.
So take 1803 plus the June cumulative update. Boom. You're ready to deploy now. So that's good.
This
is good because people were worried.
Designed to send Paul Thurrott through the roof. Early returns on 1803 are very positive, with over 250 million machines on the update. We're seeing higher satisfaction numbers, fewer known issues, and lower support call volumes compared to previous releases.
The only thing that's missing from that quote is a little parenthetical "suck at the rot" right at the end.
Or asterisk, just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. As far as we can tell.
Yeah, you'll never know. You can't see our telemetry data. Yeah.
If you only knew. All right. Good tip. Good tip. Love that. Yeah. Does it mean that we should do anything different? I mean, is it?
No.
No.
You know, a lot of businesses, they wait for the official flag to be like, okay, go. And they were kept looking at this chart, and they're like, it's not on there. It's not on there. It's not on there. I don't care what they told you, but it's not on there. So yeah, it's on there.
They've also released cumulative updates for this release, too. So if
they did.
You know, they're quietly fixing stuff as well. And it's very possible that even today you'll have a much better experience than you might have a month ago.
Yeah.
My HP Spectre just updated yesterday to 1803.
Wow. See, that's funny, because mine updated a long time ago. But I was a seeker.
I was not a seeker. Yeah. I was a hider.
I was a seeker.
Don't be a seeker. You got to be a cowerer.
Yeah, I was a cowerer. Cowerer. Yeah.
Codename pick of the week this week is 4 codenames.
Yep, and they're all related to the Surface Go. So remember, we thought we knew Libra was the codename for the Surface Go. But then a couple weeks after, I said I had also heard a codename Lingo. So it turns out Brad Sams says there were 2 code names for the Surface Go, and Libra was the engineering code name, and Lingo was the marketing code name. So that's how they were trying to catch where leaks were coming from, was who that's leaked amazing. It, engineering or marketing?
Oh, that's so smart.
Yep.
Did it leak anywhere?
It leaked in both places. We knew Libra and we knew Lingo, so it did leak from both sides.
Wow.
Did you see that Lingo appeared in the... Yeah.
Yeah. The Walking Cat yesterday showed a picture of a page that is still active, or was yesterday, on Microsoft, and it called it the Lingo tablet.
I think it literally said Surface Lingo something instead of Surface Go.
Go, yep. That's funny. It did. But then he also knew 2 other code names, and we weren't exactly sure what these were. Lexington and Gibson, he kept asking about. And so he found out Lexington was the code name for the $35 mouse that we now know about. And Gibson was the code name for the smaller Surface Go covers. So, now we know those 4 code names. You know, I just posted this a little while before the show, but there are also some adapters for the Surface Go that are available through Best Buy that Windows Central found first. But there's one that's an Ethernet adapter that you can plug into the Type-C port on the Surface Go, so that you can have an Ethernet adapter. And then there's also one for converting USB-C to USB-A, because there is no USB Type-A port on the Surface Go. And some people need that.
Right. And it does not come with one, which is a little curious.
It is curious. That is curious.
I'm surprised Microsoft doesn't make a mini dock. You like just a USB dongle with a bunch of, stuff off of it.
You can use the regular Surface dock, but I mean.
Yeah, but that's a big thing.
A peripheral thing, right?
Yeah, like this little guy that I got with the Huawei MateBook. You know, just a couple extra ports on it. I know. Nice.
It'd be cool. But we don't know if there are code names for either of those. We have never heard them, if they do exist. But they're both available for purchase on Best Buy if anybody wants those now. And they're going to ship August 2nd, same date that Surface Go ships.
Okay.
And I think you all deserve a beer.
Me too.
Not a wine slushy.
Not a wine slushy today. My beer pick is from BrewDog, which is based in Scotland. I was going to do an English beer pick, but I didn't want to look like I was being partial to the World Cup and trying to favor a team.
Scotland's England, too.
Yeah, Scotland's
UK,
UK
too. Right?
It's English-ish.
English-ish. They speak something like English. Oops, that's
not good. So BrewDog, Paul and I had a lot of BrewDog beers when we were in Manchester a couple years ago, and they make some really excellent beers. They're starting to brew more in the U.S. now. They have some breweries here, finally. And one of their beers that I had recently is called Hazy Jane. And the reason it's called that is because it's very hazy. It's a New England-style IPA from the Scottish brewers. And They make it just like a true New England style IPA. Really juicy, fruity, hazy. That's all the things you want. In a con. I put the wrong link. I see.
Yes, that's all right. I found it. This is good.
Yep.
Brewdog.
Yeah.
Hazy Jane.
It's a very good beer. And yeah, the Scotch, they know how to make some nice beers over there. And nice to see we're getting their beers now.
I don't know. There's this link on their page. Equity for Punks USA is now live.
But yeah, Punk IPA is another one of their beers.
Are they raising a coin? Are they doing an initial coin offering?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know what that is. I don't know. Invest now.
Could I use my Apple USB-C to USB adapter with my Surface Go?
Yes. You know you're going to get that question.
You can. Can't you?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. Sure.
USB-C, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I got them all. I am the king of USB-C dongles.
Oh, yeah. Them all. No, I have a gift basket full of these things.
I collected them all. So I will certainly be trying all of that.
Nice.
So, kids, here we go.
We did it.
YouTube's back and I'm gone.
Nice.
We do Windows Weekly every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. 1800 UTC. If you want to watch us live, twit.tv/live. Our stream does not go down. Well, usually, most of the time, we got audio and
it's video even there. It's as exciting as the World Cup.
It is definitely. Absolutely every bit as good as the World Cup.
Just as much scoring.
No, I think there's more scoring actually. if you can't watch live, go to twit.tv/WW. You can download episodes there, or just really, I mean, the easiest thing is whatever you use to listen to podcasts, including your Amazon Echo, your Harman Kardon Cortana device, your Google Assistant.
Really, you're really playing to the home court there.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit.
I questioned in my head if that would even work, but yeah, sure. I'm
it
sure
does. I'm sure it does. Yeah. You can just you know, the podcast, your favorite podcast, just look for Windows Weekly and you want to listen. You want to listen. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Is your cat biting your ankles?
Oh, dear. Sort of. thanks to Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com, thurrottgood.com. Mary Jo Foley, she's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Together, they form the dynamic duo of Microsoft coverage. And they'd be back next week, as will I. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.